Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So we'll talk with weatherman Bill Snyder in just a few minutes here. Bill Snyder, Tom Skilling's weather producer over at Channel 9. We'll get the latest on all that Chwani's been telling us about. You love when we have a below zero morning, don't you?
Well, it is kind of adventuresome.
You have a little gusto in your voice.
A little gusto.
A little pep in your step.
A little pep in your step.
It's just, you know, interesting, rather exciting to keep on top of all the changes and everything.
Yeah.
When I was a younger man, I used to enjoy standing outside all night covering snowstorms. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's much better to be inside here.
Much better. Andy has posted some incredible photos of this.
Oh, we had amazing pictures.
The steam sunrise that's coming off of the lake, the river, rather.
The lake is angry.
Even the lake. But it's it looks like the lake's on fire.
It does, doesn't it?
Take a look at all the social media. Andy's got those posted up there. We had some sad news just come in a minute ago about the death of a well-known actress, Chwani. You'll appreciate this, especially Joyce Randolph.
Oh, my.
Who played Trixie on The Honeymooners.
How old was she?
She was 99 years old. Played Ed Norton's wife, Trixie, according to her son, died at her home in New York, died in her sleep, suffering from the effects of old age.
Yeah.
Last surviving member of the Honeymoon.
Everybody else is gone there, sure.
Oh, long time.
Yeah.
Long time. Yeah. So we'll talk more about that coming up later on. Weather is going to be our big story that we're going to deal with today. TMZ reporting this morning that Joyce Randolph, Trixie Norton, husband of Ed Norton on the classic Honeymooners, has died at the age of 99 years old. Chwani, I'm glad you're back this week. We missed you both on the show last week. We had a fine time, but not the same as when you're not here. And I'll tell you one of the
That's because you didn't have anybody to make fun of.
No, I did.
Okay.
Mark Carman was here.
Oh, okay. there's
no shortage of making fun when Carm's in the building. But here's what I did miss, having another old person on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Too many young people around here last week. Because if this Joyce Randolph story would have fallen on deaf ears, if it was all, you know, the kids running around.
You know, I've told a number of people your story about how you were talking to a younger person at the TV station who did not know who Jackie Gleason was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I've told a number of people that.
Right. Right. Exactly. But this Joyce Randolph was an actress in New York. She had done a Clorets commercial.
Yeah, who remembers Clorets?
Well, you and I do.
Yes, we do.
You and I do. It was a breath mint, right?
Breath mint. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Before certs.
Before certs.
Remember certs?
Before Tic Tacs.
I remember certs.
And be Tic Tacs.
Yeah. She was doing a commercial. She was seen on that commercial by Jackie Gleason. And he said, "I want that dame." And she was,
he would say that, a dame.
He probably said worse than that. then she became Trixie. She played Trixie on The Honeymooners from 1955 until they stopped doing the production. She didn't do some of the revivals, but she was on the show for its entirety as the upstairs neighbor, girlfriend of... Audrey Meadows's Alice Cramden.
They were, best friends.
Best of friends. And you want to talk about quintessential 50s and 60s women on television. They were housewives.
They were housewives.
All they did was cook and clean.
Cook and clean. You know, once in a while you saw them, you know, trying to find Ralph and Ed at the bowling alley.
Right.
But other than that, they were inside.
Yeah, it's she had a difficult role. She has said in interviews through the years that Jackie Gleason was not the easiest person to work for. You can only imagine.
Well, yeah.
I'd heard that also.
Yeah.
That, You know, basically she'd come in and go, "Oh, Alice." you know, and then Alice would go into a monologue.
Have you seen Ed?
I just don't know what I'm going to do with my Ed.
I haven't seen Ed.
Yeah. Is any of this ringing a bell for you, Andy, at all?
Yeah, I've seen episodes of Honeymooners. Yeah, I've seen them ran reruns. And
yeah, they're classic.
Yeah.
They're classic. But she was 99 years old. She lived in New York. She, after the Honeymooners, she did a little bit of Broadway, but really not really that much professionally after the Honeymooners. She did a couple of movies, but she passed away, and her memory will live on in TV reruns forever.
Yeah, that's. I had thought, you know, she might have been gone with the rest of the main cast there, but wow.
Yep. Last one standing.
99.
Last one standing. What else? I was watching the Creative Arts Emmy Awards last night, and Carol Burnett won an award for that TV special that they put on for her. And she came up on stage a little bit frail, kind of broke my heart a little bit.
Well, she's over 90 now.
She's over 90 years old. Carol Burnett's over 90. That's amazing to me.
Yeah. She looked a little on the frail side with the special tribute they had for her birthday. I think Julie Andrews hosted that.
Yeah, but that was the special that won the Emmy Award for Best TV Special of the Year.
Yep.
You know, we should have a decoder ring on this show. when we talk about old things,
all these old shows.
We talk about all these old things, then all the youngsters can get
as
up
if
their,
they were on last week.
They get their Ovaltine decoder rings and figure out what the hell we're talking about.
And maybe a prize in Cracker Jack. Candy-coated popcorn, peanuts, and a prize. Yeah. That's what you get in Cracker Jack.
Yeah. Spent the early part of my life eating Cracker Jack, hoping for a decent prize.
Did you get anything?
No, it was always junk.
Magnifying glass.
Something, not even that.
Tattoo, the little sticker tattoo
thing. Yeah, the stupid tattoos. Yeah. You know what I hated were those little, I don't know what you call them. There's like a little plastic enclosure and a little ball inside.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you wiggle it around trying to get the ball in the divot.
Yep.
That was in the stupid game.
Oh,
that was
yes, bad. Right.
He did that.
It's like, can you put any less thought into this?
Yeah. Not to mention all the cavities that I'm sure I got from eating all that Cracker Jack. Candy-coated popcorn,
peanuts and a prize.
Get out your decoder rings to figure out what we're talking about.
Oh, wow. You want to talk about ice cream today?
I want to talk about ice. That I do want to talk about because we've got plenty of it, Chawny, as you've been reporting.
Oh, yeah.
How about that for the transition of the morning?
Yeah, plenty of ice, and it isn't going away, as Bill will tell you.
Bill Snyder, Tom Skilling, Tom Snyder, what? Tom Skilling's, Tom Skilling's producer. Over at WGN Television, Bill, are you sure you want to join us? We're going on icicle fumes here this morning. How are you, pal?
I think the weather's kind of gotten to all our brains a little bit, Dean. What do you think?
I think you may be 100% correct on that. So,
yeah.
So how much we had the snow, we had the slush, we had all of that mess, and the temperature plummeted yesterday like crazy. What can we expect now for today and the next few days?
Well, I'll tell you, Dean, this is quite a blast of cold air. I mean, we're used to, you know, cold air masses in winter in Chicago, but this is the likes that we don't see every year. And as a matter of fact, we're currently sitting at minus 10 at O'Hare Field right now. Wind chill of minus 32, which is a dangerous breed of cold. Some other temperatures, Dean, across the area right now, Bartlett minus 12, Aurora minus 13, DeKalb minus 14, Morris minus 12, Valparaiso minus 9. Wind chills, I've looked across the network here, are as cold as minus 39 in Aurora, minus 39 in DeKalb. So, I mean, this is a dangerous breed of cold. As a matter of fact, this Dean, we haven't had temperatures this cold in about 5 years since the dreaded polar vortex back on January 30th of 2019 when we had a bone-chilling high of 10 below, and we had a low that morning of minus 23. So this is mean stuff, and we're not alone in it, Dean. We have there's 21 states across the country that extend all the way out to the Rockies and Northern Plains from there and points east all the way to sections of Pennsylvania. So 21 states that are under some form of wind chill advisory or wind chill warning. And as a matter of fact, our area is currently under a wind chill warning. And a wind chill warning is issued criteria-wise when the wind chills get down to minus 30. And that's we're certainly in that territory right now. So the wind chill warning will continue until about noon tomorrow. And when the wind chill warning expires, that doesn't mean, oh, everything's going to be great. That will then be replaced by a wind chill advisory, and the wind chill advisory kicks in at noon tomorrow, and that will continue up until about 9 a.m. on Wednesday. So it's conceivable. The wind chills dropped below zero, Dean, yesterday late afternoon, and we may not have a wind chill factor that gets above zero, and that won't be uniform. That'll be just only across parts of the area. But that won't occur until probably sometime around 6, 7, 8 o'clock Wednesday evening. Oh, so wow. this cold spell has some staying power. And you know, it's worth noting that, you know, if you have to go out or if you have to spend any, you know, people some, you know, have to walk to the bus or the train and so forth, and they're not outside, but you want to make sure that you have every bit of exposed skin covered, because in this breed of cold, you can frostbite can occur in as little as 10 minutes in these temperatures. So it's very, very dangerous. And, you know, it's not unusual because, you know, as you mentioned, we had the snow, we had the slush, we had the slop. Well, you know, the snow cover, which wasn't very prevalent here much of December and even into early January, it extends from, you know, as far south as central Illinois, and it goes all the way north into Canada and Northwest Territory. And, you know, snow cover is high, has a high albedo. It's highly reflective. So that allows this Arctic Express to just flow in here unabated. And that's what's happened. You know, it's typical. A lot of times in our, you know, classic winter patterns, you get a snowstorm, and then, you know, then you get a blast of cold that comes in behind it, and the two kind of, you know, go hand in hand with one another.
How does this compare to what we might consider to be a normal Chicago winter? As you said, it's been so mild. I mean, I think we're so spoiled this year because of the
very mild
weather. But are we sort of back to normal, or is it even worse than what it might normally
be? Oh, yeah. No, this is even, you know, I mean, you know, I would say that, you know, Mother Nature's kind of evening out the scorecard, so to speak. This is that other shoe that we were waiting to drop. And, you know, we had, it's interesting to note, Dean, you know, as you mentioned about how mild it was, from the start of meteorological or climatological winter, December 1st up through yesterday, you know that it was the third warmest start to winter here on record, and that goes back 153 years to 1871. So, you know, that's what makes this cold spell that we're in the midst of right now, or we're just getting into, even that much more pervasive, because we're just not accustomed to that kind of cold. We haven't had any cold, and so it stings even more so than it would in a normal winter otherwise. So, it is unusual. We do get cold, obviously, but, you know, it's not every year that you see temperatures get down this low. I mean, 10 below zero is not that typical in every winter. I mean, we typically get about a handful of days each winter where the temperature drops below zero. And, we're certainly going to be below zero each and every day through, Wednesday morning.
And I guess we're not alone with all of this. We've heard the reports that the Iowa caucuses are going to be affected by severe weather. We had the, what was it, the Buffalo Bills, is it Steelers game?
Playoff game, right. Got moved because postponed. Of lake effect snow.
Yeah, in Buffalo, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a classic. And, you know, that's another factor too, Dean, because, you know, those areas, and certainly Lake Erie is being one of them, but the lack of cold weather this winter, and now that we're getting it, there's very little ice on the lakes, very little ice. So that allows the lake effect snow machine to kick on very easily when you don't have any ice, you know, involved. So that's another factor in other parts of the country.
Is that going to be an issue for us too? Because as I look out the window,
no.
I'm not seeing very much ice out there. But Bill, you know what? I got to text you some pictures that we took. There is steam coming off the river and the lake that we can see.
Yep.
That is stunning. Right. It's absolutely stunning to see it.
Yeah, no, it is, and that's something that happens usually every winter when you get that first blast of cold air, and you have such a huge temperature contrast from, you know, what's going on above you, and then what's compared to the temperature, you know, of the lake or the river. And, you know, going into this, Lake Michigan water temperature was hovering near 40 degrees. So you've got a probably a 50 to 60 degree difference between the air temperature and the water temperature. So that's what's causing this so-called steam effect that's occurring off the lake and the river.
I got to send you this picture. So when you guys show those weather pictures, you can go, yeah, our buddy Dean Richards sent this picture in.
I know.
Except he's not going to be there. And I know. He is somewhere. He's probably on a beach right now, isn't he?
He is, and you know, isn't it convenient that Skilling knows when to get out of town?
Yeah.
Because sure enough,
it always happens.
It does, yeah. Either we get blasted with cold, or we get a major storm when he's gone.
Exactly.
So here we are shivering to death, right?
Yeah. Once again, if you see Tom at the airport, hunker down. Yeah. Something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen. Right. Right.
When Tom goes on vacation, which is what he's doing right now.
Oh yeah.
So we're expecting this now for the next few days.
Right.
When do you think we're going to get some relief? And is it going to go back to being mild again, or are we going to be stuck in a cold pattern for a while?
It's interesting that you say that, Dean. Because this cold spell is just a brief interruption, and again, in what's otherwise been an extremely mild winter, we have a strong El Nino in place, and that is still ongoing. And this cold spell is, believe it or not, is related to a pool of warmth aloft, relative warmth, I should say, put that in quotations, but relatively warm air aloft over Greenland. And what's happened is that has forced the jet stream to buckle across North America and sent the lobe of Arctic air down here. So that's, you know, the two things tie hand in hand together. And the interesting thing is that we'll get some modest improvement. You know, it won't be it's still going to be cold, but it won't be quite as brutal by the time we get towards Wednesday, Thursday, where we see temperatures warm up to the upper teens, you know, compared to double digits below zero. And we might bring another little snow system in here on Thursday. I don't think it's going to be a huge deal, but with temperatures being this cold, you know, that could certainly cause some slick spots. It doesn't take a lot of snow to cause some, you know, issues on our roadways when it's this cold, and road chemicals just don't respond as well as they do when temperatures are near freezing. So we'll get a little blast of cold that comes in behind that snow, like, you know, towards Friday. So we may drop back down again to a high of about 11 degrees or 12 degrees. But the good news is, and as you were asking about, is there any improvement? There is improvement, and it looks like a week from tomorrow, we get back into a westerly El Nino type pattern where the jet stream flows off the mild Pacific Ocean, and that brings mild air across the country. So I would think that by the time we get towards a week from tomorrow, temperatures could be back above freezing into the upper 30s, and not inconceivable we get close to 40 degrees. So that's something to look forward to. But boy, we got some cold days to get through before that happens.
When you said when are we going to get the relief, I thought you were going to say on the 4th of July.
No, it isn't that bad. It isn't that bad.
Okay,
yeah,
well, Thursday's not so bad. Bill Snyder is as people are now calling you on our text line, Bill the Weather Guy. I like that for a little moniker for you, Bill the Weather Guy. Bill Snyder,
right?
Tom Skilling's weather producer over at WGN, one of the most knowledgeable and nicest people that I know. Appreciate the update, Bill, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, pal.
Sounds good, Dean. Always good to talk to you. Everybody stay safe out there.
We're not even close to the coldest day ever in the history of the city of Chicago.
No.
What that is?
The coldest day?
Yeah.
Oh, it was back around 1983 or 84?
85.
85.
January 20th, 1985, to be exact.
Okay.
Temperature went down to actual temperature now.
Minus 20
below or something like that. Yeah.
27 degrees below zero.
Wow.
The wind chill index that day, 93 degrees below
zero. This is January 20th of 85?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that day.
I do too.
Because I had frost on the electrical switches on exterior walls in my apartment at the time. I had actual snow inside my frost growing on the inside of my house.
Growing on the inside of your house.
You know, whatever. It's good, though. It killed all the roaches. So that was good.
Well, we had, we had a cold spell around Christmas of last 2022. And then it was rather mild for the rest of the winter last year. So we're kind of due for this.
Well, we'll see. Hey, let's go to the boat show after the show today.
I'd love to.
Let's go to, you know what I would love? I'd love walking across the McCormick Place parking lot now.
Oh, right about now?
My bald head would love that. 9:38, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. The warm spot in your heart today. Please be very, very careful. It is dangerously cold outside. Keep you posted with all the latest weather info on that. Throughout the program this morning, we wanted to touch on some other things, medical as well, as we always do in this segment. And it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show Dr. Robert Murphy, professor of infectious diseases, Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Dr. Murphy, how have you been, my friend? Nice to talk to you.
I've been trying to stay warm.
Now, did I hear that you are in some exotic location talking to us this morning?
If you consider Paris, France, exotic location, yes.
I consider Paris, France a pretty exotic location. That's okay. Very cool. Are you vacationing? Are you on a conference or something?
No, I'm working. I'm working from here because I'm traveling to several other places in Europe and in Africa.
Oh, wow.
Over the next couple of weeks, so I'm working out of Paris.
Very, very interesting. What's the weather like in Paris today?
It's very cold. I mean, cold in Paris is 30 degrees. It really rarely gets below freezing, so the people here can't handle it. I said, you got to come to Chicago.
Yeah. I was in Paris once during a very bad snowstorm there. I was there doing some interviews.
That's unusual.
And there was a pretty hefty snowstorm. And, naturally all of Paris shut down because, as you say, they're just not used to it. And I went for a walk on the Champs-Élysées, and it was one of the most beautiful things I had ever seen, seeing the Arc de Triomphe. And the snow coming down, and it was just absolutely gorgeous. So hopefully you'll get a minute or two to enjoy that while you're working there. I just wanted to talk about the cold weather for a minute. I know this isn't necessarily your specialty, but what kind of precautions should people be taking in this super cold weather?
Well, it's not so much the cold weather that causes the problem. It's that the way people are gathering, and that's how it's really spreading. The temperature actually doesn't make too much difference.
Okay.
But it's, people, gathering together in closed spaces without a lot of ventilation because it's so cold outside. That's really what's spreading everything around.
That's the danger, the huddling in this kind of weather. Okay. Well, that's something to think about. Hopefully people with this extreme cold that we've got the next few days won't want to be huddling, but keep moving outside and keep trying to find someplace warm. Is RSV our biggest concern right now? It seems like over the last couple of weeks, I've heard of so many people being hospitalized with RSV.
Well, that's true. Well, the three big respiratory illnesses, and about 50% of all the cases, people who are sick with a respiratory illness now, have either COVID, RSV, or the flu. And RSV is just one of them, and it's a very deadly and potentially deadly infection.
Now, what's the difference between RSV and, just what you might consider I don't know if there is such a thing as a regular respiratory virus. RSV more severe?
Much more severe. Flu, RSV, and COVID are very severe. The other respiratory infections are relatively mild and are not going to potentially kill somebody. So this year, we've got a big increase right now in 38 of the American states. with these respiratory illnesses, which is no big surprise. This is the respiratory season, respiratory illness season. So, you know, December, January, and February is the typical peak, and we're right smack dab in the middle of it.
So how does one know if you have RSV?
Well, it's a diagnosable condition, and you can, right now, the diagnosis would be made at a clinic or a hospital. There's no over-the-counter test for RSV yet, although there are for the flu and for COVID. But by the end of this year, it's expected, you know, I don't know if you or the viewers have gone and, to a pharmacy and got a COVID test kit. Well, you know, by the end of this year, the test kits will include both flu and RSV, all in the same kit.
Oh.
So, no, it's a huge advance. So you'll know, because those are the three deadly ones.
So what kind of symptoms might you be presenting if you are possibly facing RSV, different from, other respiratory illnesses?
The problem is no. The only difference is in severity. So, but all, cough, fever, sniffles, sore throat, all, aches, pains, shortness of breath, they're all the same. They all present the same.
Difficulty breathing if you have RSV?
Well, if you get pneumonia, that's the big fear. You're not going to die or end up in the hospital with, if you just have an upper respiratory infection. In other words, just like in your nose and throat. But if it gets done in the lungs and you get pneumonia, that's potentially lethal.
All right, so... Don't put off if you feel like you may be having some symptoms. Not a bad idea to get it checked out. Don't be a big shot. Oh, I can muscle through this. Err on the side of caution with this. And of course, the vaccine is readily available for you. Once you get vaccinated, is there a certain amount of time until you are then immune?
Hello?
Are you with us, doctor? Can you hear us? Hello, doctor. Can you hear us? He cannot hear us. All right. So, he's in Paris, France. You know how those Frenchies are, constantly trying to block our radio programs. Let me take a break and we'll see if we can reconnect with Monsieur Dr. Robert Murphy coming up next. 9:48. And this is Dean Richards Sunday Morning, the antifreeze version of the program today, with Dr. Robert Murphy on the line with us from Paris, France. He is the professor of infectious diseases, Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Glad you're back on the line with us. I was just asking about the vaccines and how soon from the time that you get the poke, are you covered by that vaccine when it comes to RSV? Does it take a few days, a couple of weeks?
Pretty much all the vaccines take about a week or two to really kick in, full speed. But with every day the number of people that are protected increases. But give it a week or two before it really should be working at full speed.
Okay. What about COVID numbers? Those have also been on the rise. Is that also because we're inside more? We're closer to one another. You barely see anybody wearing masks anymore. I would think all of those things probably are playing into that.
Yeah, everything is playing into that. But what has happened is many states have reimposed mask mandates, at least in the hospital area. So in the patient care areas, we never stopped wearing masks. But now all parts of the hospital, you have to have a mask when you come in now. That just makes sense. And that should probably be the way it is every respiratory season, because this is not the first time this has happened. But the COVID numbers are way up, too.
Yeah. So, people who think that we are in the clear right now, or that you've had a vaccine and therefore you are immune, that's not the case, right? When it comes to these vaccines, it doesn't give you immunity from COVID, right?
Well, if you've had the vaccines, you're very likely to get seriously ill. The hospitalization rate and mortality rate, the death rate, are considerably lower. And the other thing with COVID and with flu, there's treatment. There's Paxlovid is the treatment for most of the COVID infections, and Tamiflu for the flu. You can actually treat a person. So if you make the diagnosis, you know, go get the treatment. The treatment works over 90% of the time, yeah. And it doesn't matter whether you had the vaccine or not.
Okay. What about other cold weather things? What other precautions should we be taking? Obviously, we've been talking about how quickly you can get frostbite in this weather. You know, nobody wants to, you know, get sick during this weather. What are the general precautions that we should be taking for cold weather?
Well, the only thing that is really going to help, other than keeping up with your vaccine, and there is a vaccine for RSV, and there's a treatment for young kids under 8 months of age, a monoclonal antibody therapy that's given for preventing things. Other than keeping up with that, the best thing to do is to get people who are sick out of the system. They should be staying home. You see somebody now, you know, coughing on a bus or, you know, in an office or some room someplace, this is not a good thing to have, because that's how this thing is spread.
Now, just in terms of general health in the cold weather, not even RSV or COVID related, mm-hmm. what are the kinds of precautions? Obviously, we should keep warm, stay out of cold, mm-hmm. right? What are the other kinds? I was joking on Facebook the other day. The January 12th would have been my mother's 101st birthday. That was the day of the storm, and I said, if she were still with us today, she would have called me 10 times to tell me to make sure that I wear a hat so I don't get a cold.
Is that good sound
medical advice? Did this little Greek woman know what she was talking about?
Yes, she did, and he should listen to her.
Of course. Oh, I learned that through the years. uh-huh. But it's
just common sense. It's just common sense. Layer your clothing. Wear a good hat. Have gloves if you have to be outside in this kind of weather, because the cold can kill you too.
You mean from frostbite or exposure to the cold?
Yeah, exposure. Mm-hmm.
Can being exposed to the cold give you a virus?
No.
Does it make you more susceptible to a virus? No.
No. Mm-mm. Actually, it's a big misnomer. It's just the way we behave in the cold. We're indoors more, and we're actually physically closer to other people. Mm. And people going to work and going socializing and stuff who are not feeling well, that really has to stop. The other thing is during this season, December through February, you know, the hospitals are, like I said before, mandating masks again in the hospital area. But why shouldn't this be other areas where people congregate? It's so simple enough. We went through the whole COVID pandemic and did it, and everybody sort of survived. But it's just for periods when people are close together indoors.
Okay, that makes sense. I've had an ongoing dispute with Anna Belleval on our TV morning show. You know, she comes from Puerto Rico. She comes, you know, from an island where, you know, a freezing temperature to them is 60 degrees. So, so when we get a blast of cold weather here, she is covered from head to toe. You can't even see her face. She covers herself to make sure, because she says that I could get pneumonia if any part of my skin gets cold. And I've told her, you don't get viruses from being cold. You have to get a virus from somebody else who has a virus, not from being in the cold. And she says, you know, well, she goes back to what her mother told her, you know, all these things that we learn from our parents, that can happen. But I have science on my side, apparently.
Yeah, you have the science on your side.
The other thing
the funny thing is, like with COVID, which is so contagious, you know, we have big outbreaks in the summer. So, you know, how does that fit in? In the summertime, though, especially in the southern part, in the warmer parts of the United States, people are indoors also because it's so hot out. You can't be outside. So I don't know if you remember, we've had, you know, the original Delta wave was in August, and you know, there's typically the end of the summer as kids go back to school, a mini COVID wave too.
Yeah, those are the things that we need to be careful of. Another thing that mm-hmm. Anna and I have been battling about ever since I've known her, which is like 15 years or something now, is the medical value of Vicks VapoRub, which mm-hmm. both of our parents subscribe to it as the miracle cure for everything. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, is there, outside of some cooling relief, is there actually any medicinal benefit to slathering a person in Vicks VapoRub?
The person may feel better, but as far as any kind of real effect, no. So you need an antiviral drug to actually work against the virus. And like for COVID and for flu, we have antiviral drugs.
Yeah. All right. Well.
But the best thing is to prevent it. Like for RSV, there's a vaccine was introduced right. several months ago yep. for people 60 and over. And also interesting for women in the during pregnancy. It was also approved for them. It's between week 32 and week 36 of pregnancy, the RSV vaccine is approved because if you give the vaccine to the pregnant woman at that time, the baby is protected from RSV.
Oh, okay. All right.
Interesting, huh?
I don't think I've ever heard that side note.
Oh, yeah. It was just approved. Because the kids, 58 to 80,000 infants, you know, young children under 8 months, get hospitalized per year from RSV. So for, you know, pediatric units are not too big anymore. Kids are generally healthy. They're taken care of as outpatients, but it's one of the big things that lands them in the hospital. This RSV results for 2.1 million outpatient visits per year in
wow.
kids under five
wow.
and 1 to 300 deaths. So, they've got that treatment, that monoclonal antibody. It's one injection they take, and they're protected. It was so popular, and this is the first year it's been out. It's called Beyfortus. It was so popular they ran out.
Wow. Well, that's news to me. So, you know, take the necessary precautions. Take, as you say, common sense precautions
mm-hmm.
Will certainly mm-hmm. help you with this. Be up to date on your mm-hmm. vaccines and check with your own physician to, you know, to see if there's anything special
exactly.
you should be doing with regard to your own particular medical condition. Dr. Murphy, it's a mm-hmm. pleasure to have you back on the show again. I really appreciate
you
taking some time all the way from Paris, France, to join us today. I hope you find time to have a wonderful croissant or two while you're there at your conferences today. Dr. Robert Murphy, Professor of Infectious Diseases, Northwestern University, Feinberg School of Medicine. Merci beaucoup. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And we all continue here. Shwani will give us a cold weather update, give us all the latest on the weather, how it's affecting traffic. We've got lots of things related to the cold to tell you about. We'll update all of that in just a couple of minutes. And Shwani, I'll bet you thought I forgot about the far-flung forecast.
I just thought you were not paying any attention
to me.
No,
we were
just
in weather mode. We were in weather mode.
Well, is the far-flung forecast not weather mode? Just saying.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. It's not.
It's more entertainment.
I'm going to say if people are trying to figure out what to do when they go outside, far-flung forecast is not first thing on their mind.
Especially where we're going to go today.
All right. Well, we're going to do that right after we update news.
Stress.
All right. A postponed far-flung forecast coming up in just a moment or two. You want to tease us with what we might be getting?
We're going way up north and about as far north as you can get in the U.S. And no, it's not International Falls, Minnesota.
I smell a weather-related far-flung forecast.
Oh, yeah. With weather like today that's hitting the nation, yes, Yes.
We'll leave it to our very fine listeners to come up with the bright side to the freezing weather.
Of course.
A text poured in.
Poured in. I love the way you put that. It's just,
they have a lot of texts for some reason. You know, everyone's stuck inside today. They have nothing better to do than text us, which is you're more than welcome. 312-981-7200. Stupider the better is my motto on the text line. And not that this is
stupid. Did you hear from Tom Snyder by any chance?
I believe Mr. Snyder is untextable.
I think so.
But the 219, oh, this is your old stomping ground.
219, yeah.
The 219. Good morning, Dean. One of the very good things about this freezing weather is that fleas and ticks will not survive this below zero.
That's very true. Neither will mosquitoes.
Well, weather. The mosquitoes won't either, but... you know, thank goodness, because I don't know if a lot of people know this. Before every Sunday show, we check each other for fleas and ticks, and we seem to be okay. And now I guess we don't have to. So, any of you who have kids probably know this song by heart. It's one of the songs from the Frozen soundtrack. I'm sure that your kids have watched at home 572 times over and over in one afternoon. This song called Frozen Heart just seemed to fit for this morning. Also this morning, sad news if you're a fan of the TV show The Honeymooners, the final surviving cast member of that show, Joyce Randolph, who played Trixie Norton, Ed Norton's wife, and Alice Cramden's best friend, Trixie, Joyce Randolph, passes away this morning at the age of 99. We'll have more on that coming up in just a little while. We've got a good text here, Schwani. This one I think maybe you can answer. That comes to us from the 630 area code. How come all the children who do weather reports, ooh, that's biting. How come all the children who do weather reports say it's minus 10 as opposed to saying it's 10 below zero?
Well, you can say it either way. Minus 10 designates that it's below zero, and of course, plus 10 would indicate that it's above zero.
Yeah.
But from this day forward, we'll say it's 10 below. Yeah.
Is there a difference, really? There's
not really. No, there's no difference. It's just in the phraseology, that's all.
You know what my weather pet peeve is? When I hear somebody say that it's 0 degrees.
Oh, yeah, right. Zero is not a number.
Zero is not a number. It's the reading would be zero on the thermometer. But since there is no numeric value to zero, it can't be 0 degrees. Because there's nothing there.
Now, are we going to get into...
This is how little I have to think of.
Are we going to get into trigonometry a little later on in the show?
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Isn't trigonometry in that song, too? Wait.
Yeah, there is. Don't know much trigonometry.
Oh, yeah,
but I do know that I love you. What a wonderful world this would be. You know what a pet peeve.
This is something that Kevin Wells could not do last week. As many times as I tried to lead him into a 60s song.
You know,
these young children.
I am about to commit something that I was told very early in my broadcast career that was a no-no.
Oh, you're going to break some rule?
I'm going to do an annoyance. I'll just put an annoyance here.
I love this because now I'm not the only one who finds you annoying.
The time is 10:14 a.m. this morning.
Well, the whole AM-PM thing drives me nuts. If you are saying 10:14 in the morning, you don't need to say AM.
It's AM. I know. Yeah. I know. But you hear it.
But you hear it all the time.
You do hear it. Yep.
Are you young?
I think we should do 24-hour time. Well, it's not going to matter
on
this
program.
People should go to the 24-hour clock.
Yes, because 1 p.m. would be 13.
Yeah.
2 p.m. would be 14.
Yeah.
And on down. That's military time, too, by the way.
Yeah, let's make it tougher on everybody who can't add or subtract 12 from whatever time you say.
Hey, it's 17:04. Good afternoon, everybody.
4 minutes after 17.
Oh, that's another. That's one of my.
That would be 504.
That's a DJ time pet peeve of mine.
Oh yeah.
When they repeat, like you're stupid enough that you can't figure it out. If you go, it's 5:10, 10 minutes after five.
Yeah. On the old clock on the wall.
You have to repeat it both ways.
The old clock on the wall.
Hey, it's 5:50, 10 minutes until 6 o'clock.
You mean 10 minutes on the upswing of 18?
On the upswing.
Yep. It's just before 10:16, 16 minutes after 10 on this Sunday morning.
No wonder people hate DJ so much.
And this is all we wanted to do when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Be on the radio.
Let's do an hour of just annoying things.
We can think of a number of items.
We it's only going to take an hour.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's
we do
the
that
whole
every
show. That's the whole show.
I can't speak for you two, but I've made a career out of doing annoying things. Hey, speaking of annoying things, it's time once again for your far-flung forecast. You're better late than never, far-flung forecast, because we had a special guest on during its regularly scheduled time. So, Shawnee, you got preempted. Usually I'm the one getting preempted. This week you got preempted for a weather update from Bill Snyder.
And very appropriately so.
Well, it was important information.
Yeah.
But is there anything more important, really, than our compendium of fascinating facts and figures compiled to us each week by, hey, it's 17 minutes after 10 o'clock, everyone.
10:17.
10:17. Here's Dave Schwann.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be back, by the way. And folks, get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled GPS devices, because we are going as far north and pretty far west as well, right to the U.S.-Canadian border, to Sweetgrass, Montana.
Oh, I love the name of that town.
Sweetgrass, Montana.
All right.
Has a population of 65. And when we say it is on the border, we're not kidding. Because
it could be the name
of
a tea. Doesn't that sound like
Sweetgrass tea?
An herbal tea?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'd like a sweet cream.
And next week we'll do chamomile, Maine, or something like that.
There probably is a place called.
There might be
Sweetgrass. Where now?
Sweetgrass, Montana. It is right on the line between the United States and Alberta, Canada, and is a port of entry, as they say, meaning that there you are stopped. If you drive north into Canada, you will be stopped there for, the check there at the border. But we mentioned Sweetgrass, Montana, not necessarily for that reason, because, well, if you think it's cold here, just wait.
You found someplace colder?
It is 28 below, minus 28 in Sweetgrass, Montana.
That's the actual temperature?
As the actual temperature.
That's the actual temperature.
And at 4 o'clock this morning, it was 33 below.
Oh,
they have wind chill indices in Montana of 50 below this morning.
Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm. And yes, there's a wind chill warning, too.
Okay. All right. What?
I was waiting for you to make other comments.
No,
it's 10:19, 19 minutes after 10 o'clock.
I didn't know if you were done.
It is minus 28,
far
28
be it
below
for me to ever
zero.
Interrupt anything that you are saying or doing.
And with a wind chill index of about 40 to 50 below, and it's going to stay with them, too, just like that type of thing is going to be staying with us here. This weather system throughout the country is just amazing. Did you happen to see video yesterday of the buildings off the coast of New England and Maine going into the water?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. It reminds me something we're going to do a little later on in the show. Andy, Shawnee, and I are all going to go down to Wacker Drive. We're going to put our tongues on some lampposts.
We're not even bringing hot water to help.
We kick it old school when we get our tongues stuck to a lamppost to see if we can still do the show with our tongues frozen to lampposts.
Then I'm going to tie you up around it.
And then we're going to see if anyone can tell the difference between that and the way we normally talk.
So there you are, Sweetgrass, Montana. Sweet. Big sky country. That's beautiful country up
there.
That's
sweet, man.
It is sweet.
Hey, talking about annoying things. I know I often joke about TV reporters standing on expressway overpasses during winter weather, and it is stupid, by the way. Don't you feel sorry when you see any TV reporter out in this ridiculously cold weather?
Mm-hmm. Not only in this ridiculously cold weather, but if they're standing in the middle of a hurricane.
Do we have a lot of those here?
Not here, but I mean, you see network reporters.
Oh, like in Florida.
Yeah, right. Same, you know.
And the wind is going crazy.
The wind is 110 miles an hour, yeah. And they're hanging on for dear life.
It takes their umbrella inside out.
Yeah. Yep.
But they're out there reporting because they're dedicated journalists.
And they
not they, like us.
They do not use the phrase, please use caution when you're out in the hurricane.
Don't forget to layer up.
Layer up.
It's been a while since we've done the slogans that need to be repeated.
They're stating the obvious?
No. Oh, here's another thing. The new thing for TV stations now is to have a camera in a car. While driving.
Yeah. Oh, where the reporter is driving.
Yeah, we call ours Ground Cam 9 over on Channel 9. And it's somebody who's driving. It's a cameraman and usually a reporter in the car driving on an expressway. So you can see what the conditions are like on the expressway. I'm going to say we need to make sure that we have good wiper blades in the car.
Well, you know what?
Before we do that.
It's funny you should say that because just not long ago, I went in to get some oil. The oil changed in my car and everything else. And they asked, do you need this or that? And, you know, they're trying to add up the bill.
They're trying to upsell you.
But I actually did. They asked about windshield wipers. And I said, you know, I think I need some. And I am glad I did, because driving back from Michigan last weekend, there was a snowstorm. Driving around here this week, we really needed them. I'm really glad I got the new ones.
Yeah, yeah. Did you put them in yourself?
No, no. I watched an expert do it.
Can't put in wiper blades by yourself?
They were there. I said, you do it.
Even I can do it.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, I should have called you.
Want me to change your oil, too, while you're at it, Mr. Moneybags? Milburn Drysdale? You want me to?
Milburn Drysdale.
Too much of a big shot to do a little car maintenance yourself?
Miss Jane does the oil change on
his car. Miss Hathaway, change the oil on my car.
Right away, Chief.
And take those barbells to the attic right away. 1025 Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. And we start the show off with sad news this morning. It was announced just minutes before the show went on the air this morning that Joyce Randolph had passed away. Joyce Randolph, the actress who played Trixie Norton on the classic television sitcom The Honeymooners, maybe one of the greatest television programs of all time that starred Jackie Gleason, Art Carney, Audrey Meadows, and Joyce Randolph as Ralph and Alice Cramden and Ed and Trixie Norton. Trixie was husband to Ed Norton, best friends with Alice Cramden. It is a classic television show. If you're too young to remember The Honeymooners or any of those characters, do yourself a huge favor and check it out. It is one of the funniest, timeless series of all time. Joyce Randolph died in her sleep, according to her son, at the age of 99 at her home in New York City. She really didn't do very much after The Honeymooners. She did a couple of plays in New York where she lived, did a couple of movies, but from the mid-1950s, when The Honeymooners first went on the air, all the way for the duration of when The Honeymooners ran and has been in reruns ever since, that's pretty much her claim to fame. That's pretty much what she chose to do professionally in her life. She had a son who survives her now, but it's very sad. I wanted to play just a little bit of a clip. I mean, hers was very definitely a supporting role. She would come, downstairs to Ralph and Alice's apartment and you know, discuss whatever it was that happened to be going on that day, like this scenario.
Now I've got my shopping list all made out for tomorrow morning. I'm going to serve sandwiches, ice cream, coffee, punch, potato chips, peanuts, chocolate cake with happy birthday to Ralph on it. Mm-hmm. Oh, on second thought, I better make that coconut cake. Why? Ralph's crazy about chocolate cake. That's just it. I bought him a new belt for his birthday, and I want to make sure it fits the day after. Oh. Well, you could always exchange it for a larger size. There is no larger size. If this belt doesn't fit Ralph, then it's back to safety pins.
Yeah, there you go. A little bit of Alice and Trixie together in some of their scenarios. Joyce Randolph, I actually had Joyce Randolph. I haven't had her on the show pretty much since I started here at WGN, which was, 1993, 94, something like that. When I came on here on television, I started in 1991. Here on WGN Radio, it was a little bit later. I think it was 93 or 94. And she was one of my early guests, and we talked with her on the phone, and I pretty much haven't spoken with her since then. But she was very nice and had, you know, fond memories of, you know, being a part of that classic television show. But I'm telling you what, do yourself a favor. If, you know, old guys like Schwani and me, we grew up on the Honeymooners, and I still love it. I assume you do as well, right?
Do you have a yes? Do you have a favorite episode?
Oh boy,
which one is it?
It's when what's it? What's the guy's name who is giving mambo lessons to all the ladies? Carlos. Oh. Carlos is giving everybody mambo lessons, and Ralph was trying to do the mambo. The mambo lessons. That's one of my I have too many favorites. I love
yeah,
what about you?
Several,
do you have a favorite?
I have a couple. The one that more or less is referred to in general terms is the Blabbermouth episode.
Oh yeah.
Where he's recording and he's trying to keep his calm and finally yells into the tape recorder or dictaphone belt or whatever he's using back then to, you know, his mother-in-law. You're a blabbermouth!
Any episode and with his mother-in-law.
The tapes get switched and the tape goes to his mother-in-law. And now he has to come up with a big apology.
I love any episode with his mother-in-law. The one where he finds all the money on the bus. And the mother-in-law finds out, and you know she doesn't like him either, but when she finds out he has all the money, that he found all that money, Sonny boy.
and then the one other one is when they're in the song contest.
Oh, da, 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 da,
who
da,
wrote da, da. Swanee River?
That's fantastic.
Ed Norton.
Some fantastic episodes.
Yes.
As you right now, we sound like the two old guys sitting in the balcony.
Well,
on the
that's
Muppet
because
show. We are. Yeah. It's because we are. Anyway, check it out on Honeymooners on YouTube. Rest in peace, Joyce Randolph.
It's John.
It is 10:38. Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Time for our weekend theater segment. What's going on stage in Chicago? Final day for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory out at the Paramount in Aurora. And a lot of you are, you know, getting a little cabin fevery already, even after just these couple of days of, you know, severe winter weather. Want to get out to the Paramount and enjoy an incredible show. Today will be the final day for that. We're in the final stretch of Hamilton the musical down at the Niederlander Theater in Chicago. That's still a ways to go, but I wanted to mention that our pal Miguel Cervantes, who played Alexander Hamilton here in Chicago when the show first came here, when Hamilton first began its North American tour and was here in Chicago for 5 years, Miguel Cervantes played Alexander Hamilton that entire time. We got to be pretty good friends with him while he was here. And then he was moved to the Broadway production, where he has been playing A. Hamilton ever since, up until just the other day. He did his final performance, wanted to move on and do something new. He hasn't announced what that's going to be yet. But in honor of our pal Miguel and his amazing run in that amazing show, We're going to replay one of our final interviews with him when he left Chicago, actually. We'll get to that coming up in a couple of minutes. But before we do all of that, I wanted to bring in a special guest on the program who is returning to Chicago to be part of Teatro Zinzani, the show that I've seen many times here in Chicago with different casts and different scenarios. It now has a new cast and is about to bring back someone who was part of the show, Christine Deaver, who joins us on the phone line right now. Christine, hello from Ice Cold in Chicago.
Dean, how are you?
I'm doing.
How do I like Chicago?
No, go ahead. I was just going to say.
I'm either in rehearsal or walking to rehearsal. So I've seen the 5 blocks it takes for me to get to the tent. But I'm hoping when I get a day off, I can actually have a slice of deep dish pizza or at least something Chicago-like. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there you go. Christine is going to be returning to the show starting on January the 18th. And we'll be here until the end of the month. Hopefully, it'll defrost a little bit by then, because right now, you're not going to be walking any place for deep dish pizza right now.
I know. I mean, you guys get an award, because I don't know how you do this. I'm from Los Angeles, so 60 degrees is cold for me. Yeah. So this is like, how did this happen?
I was just talking to some friends the other day who are from California and from Florida. And they said we were kind of in a Zoom setting with some friends who are from Toronto and Minneapolis, and we were all commiserating, like all the cold weather people said, it's not that bad, and all the warm weather people were like, you people are crazy living in weather like that. So I totally understand what you mean. So how excited are you to be coming back into Zinzani?
Well, actually, I've been with Zinzani for about off and on for 18 years, and I played in the Seattle tent quite a bit and also San Francisco, and I've never played Chicago. So this is my first time playing Zinzani in Chicago, and I'm thrilled to be here. And the current cast is just fabulous, and the woman that's playing the role that I will be playing, she had a scheduling conflict, and she's fabulous, by the way, Carissa Hendricks. And so I'm just coming in for 2 weeks to cover for her and have a good time. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'd mentioned on the air that I welcomed in the new year with Teatro Zinzani.
Oh, you were there for New Year's Eve. Oh, that's a special night.
So fun.
Yeah, no place better for New Year's Eve than Teatro Zinzani, I swear. And it's even better working Teatro Zinzani on New Year's Eve. So, yeah, it's fun.
It seemed like the performers were also having a great time, because they did their show, which is freewheeling. And it seems like, this is the kind of show where you can do something different every night. And,
that's the glory of it.
It's got to be great for all of you, right?
Oh, it is. It's fun. It keeps it fresh. And you never know what's going to happen, because I bring people up on stage and do things with them, all legal, of course. But you never know what they're going to be like, or what they're going to say, or what they're going to do. So I've had the gamut of everything from this guy should be in show business to this guy should be arrested. So it's just it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and lots of audience participation, I would assume, as you take on this role as kind of like the MC, I guess, right, of the show?
Yeah, yeah. I'm playing Penelope Wilde, who's a cosmic clairvoyant who also changes personalities. So I got a lot of leeway there.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a great time. How do you describe the show? I've told so many people, I went on New Year's Eve, and it was so much fun. And then I start to describe the show, and at a point in my own mind, I go, it's really hard to describe the show, because it's so many different things.
Well, I kind of describe it as Cirque du Soleil meets Moulin Rouge meets Kit Kat Club on acid.
Oh, so, that's perfect, really.
Yeah. It's a little bit of everything.
It's acrobatics. It's contortionist. I don't want to say circus acts, because it's not really, but it's like acts of what the human body can do, right?
Yeah, acts of bendiness. Yes.
Of bendiness. It's the bendiest show in Chicago.
The bendiest. If you want to see a bendy show, Teatro Zanzani is the one.
Yeah, but amazing music, just really, really.
Oh, the band here is fantastic. They sound like to me like when Johnny Carson was still on the air in his band. That's right. What they sound like to me. Right. I listen to them every night and just feel like, I just sit there and listen to them. I just think they're fabulous.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the singers whose primary roles are to perform music are amazing in the show. And then the comedy, the things that happen are also hilarious. And you get fed at the same time.
You do. You get a four-course meal. I think it's four courses. I think, I don't know.
I think
you
it
get
was.
Meat. You get food. Yeah, I had the salmon last night. It was very good.
Yeah, I think I was drinking on New Year's Eve a little bit, so I lost count after a while. But it was quite delicious, I will say.
That can happen. That can happen.
Yeah. So it should be a lot of fun. Anyway, so you're going to be on stage at the beautiful what is it called? The Spiegel tent. Spiegel tent,
which means mirror tent. So when you walk into the tent, you know, it's really funny because you go through the Cambria Hotel and you go up to the 14th floor. And like most hotels, you get out and there's beige walls and it looks like a dental office, right?
Right.
And then you walk through the door of Teatro Zanzani and you are immediately transported to, I don't know where, but it's not a beige wall. The lobby is gorgeous and the tent, you walk into the tent and you're just, where the heck am I? But it's, I've always said that the true star of the show is the tent.
That's very true. I mean, it's certainly part of the experience for sure. It's this very lavish tent with tables, kind of in a little bit in the round, and it's a really fun evening. And Christine will be back on stage starting Thursday, January 18th. To Sunday the 28th, and you can get tickets by going to zanzani.com/Chicago. Welcome to our frozen tundra.
Thank you. I really dig this city, even though I haven't seen a lot of it, but I'm looking forward to getting to know it better, but I'm very happy I'm here.
Well, welcome back, and I can't recommend Teatro Zanzani enough. Thanks so much for joining us, Christine. Have a great day today.
You too, Dean. Thank you.
There you go. Part of the amazing soundtrack of Hamilton, an American musical. Winner of so many Tony Awards on Broadway. The production that starred Lin-Manuel Miranda. When the show hit the road and began its tour around America, the Chicago Company was the first one out of the Great White Way and starred Miguel Cervantes, who we interviewed when he first came to town. I don't know how many times that we had Miguel here on the show, multiple times here on the radio show and also on our TV morning show. His wife, Kelly, joined us also on the program many, many times as a couple, began a battle to save their life of their little daughter, Adelaide, who is suffering from a severe form of epilepsy, something that has since taken her life. And now Kelly and Miguel Cervantes have dedicated much of their time to helping other couples who are going through something similar. a child who is chronically ill, a child that has passed away. Kelly has written a book about dealing with the grief that goes along with something like that. They are remarkable people. When Miguel played Alexander Hamilton here in Chicago for 5 years and then got the big job, when Lin-Manuel Miranda left the show on Broadway, Miguel went to the Great White Way and he took over the starring role on Broadway. And that was right when the pandemic was starting. I think he had done maybe just a handful of performances when the pandemic shut Broadway and everything else in the world down. And, they sat it out. Eventually, things opened up again. Eventually, he was back on stage and playing Alexander Hamilton again until late last week when he announced that he would be leaving the show. Wanted to do something different. And you can imagine, I mean, he probably had done that role – excuse me, he probably performed that role for 8 years, I think, maybe 8 or 9 years, something. That's a long time to do the same show over and over. And he was looking for some new creative opportunities. So he has said that he will be looking forward to those and will be telling us about those as soon as possible. But when he did leave Chicago, he spent some time with us on the TV morning show. In fact, did his final performance, and then the very next morning came on to join us to say goodbye and to say thank you to Chicago.
The lead actor, Alexander Hamilton, during that entire run is with us this morning. Wow. Talk about this range of emotions.
I'm getting all choked up over here watching this thing.
Right? Miguel Cervantes, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks
for having me. Old friend of the morning show. Thank you for coming out. I'm sure it must have been just an exhaustive night.
Yeah. I mean, I've done two shows plenty of times, and I was not as tired as doing one yesterday. Wow. The response from the audience, the energy, I think it, you know, you can understand why rock and roll stars get a little burnt out, because it was just so electric. You could feel the love and the energy coming from the audience. And I, you know, it's something like you can't describe, you can't prepare for. And, you know, the end of a journey like this, it's indescribable.
So why did you answer your phone this morning?
Because he loves us, Larry.
Listen, I'm still an old guy. Yeah. We shut it down a little early last night.
But coming into a show like this, everyone knew it was such a big hit on Broadway. A lot of pressure taking over that role when you came to Chicago. And you, they usually switch people out. They kept you the whole time. I saw you. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's got to be unbelievable.
You know, we talked about this at the beginning. You know, they let me be who I wanted to be on that stage. They let me create the Hamilton that I wanted to be and who I was. I'm a different person than Lynn and any of the other Hamiltons you see. And the energy that we created on that stage, it just kept going, and the new people would come in and go, and the energy kept going. And I was just telling, you know, Dean earlier, it never felt like it was old. It never felt like 3.5 years.
And the ultimate compliment for you now, I mean, you were going to take some time off after this show was going to close here in Chicago anyway, but some news came in that you are going to continue as Alexander Hamilton in New York on Broadway.
Yeah.
You are taking over the main show with this.
You know, I started on the first one I started before Chicago. I got to do 4 performances with some of the original company, and that was an amazing sort of beginning. And then now we've created this beautiful Chicago sort of bubble that we created this show. And now I get to sort of take our energy, a little bit of our Chicago fire, and move it over to New York and be able to do what I do there, and hopefully give a little bit of that Chicago love to the Broadway company that we've
created. Plenty of actors come to town and they perform here for a little while, and you know, they give us the usual, oh, I love Chicago, it's love your pizza. But you have really embraced Chicago. I mean, you really have become part of the city here.
Yeah.
What does Chicago mean to you?
We got here without an idea of what it was going to be like, our life was going to be here. Immediately we decided that we loved it, and immediately we decided that we were going to be here for as long as we could. And, you know, my son is in school, and we've met so many people that have supported us. You know, Hamilton is one thing, but, you know, the struggles that we've gone through as a family with my daughter and all of the sort of, you know, difficulties that have come throughout these last 3 years, we got a lot of love and support from our home, from the people here,
from
and the family that we found, and the support system that we found here. And because of that, I feel like, you know, I'm going to consider this home. Mm-hmm. I'm not going back home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm moving away.
Yeah.
And I think,
tell me that you're going to go do the show in New York, but you're keeping your place.
We're going to keep our place. We don't know how long this is going to be. This could be 5 years, it could be a couple years, I don't know. But in somewhere down deep in my heart and in my wife's heart, and we want to keep the option open for coming back. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's how important this place has been to us.
As an artist, how do you fill that void where a lot of artists say, I don't want to do the same thing over and over again. I want to go do something else. Do you have an opportunity to do something while you're doing Hamilton?
Yeah, you know, in New York, it's a little easier to sort of be. There's lots of projects. There's lots of things going on, new rights, new works and stuff. And actually, my son and wife are going to stay here for the whole school year. So I'll be commuting back and forth.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to kind of be bored during the day looking for something to do. So I will, you know, hopefully there'll be something new, some other project. But honestly, as an artist, to be in something like Hamilton, to be able to be part of an amazing movement that it is, it's as fulfilling as anything I could ever have dreamed of. And so to be able to do it more and to continue, I can't imagine wanting to do anything new.
Well, that's just it. When you find a role that fits you so well and you click with, there's a lot of artists that are like, oh, I'm ready to get rid of that. I'm not that person anymore. I mean, why not ride it out and just embrace it?
You know,
it's such a great experience.
Not for nothing. In the entertainment business, it's also hard to find a job that lasts for a long time.
Right.
So this one, if it can go for longer and I can be fulfilled by it and also, you know, have a job, then it seems like a great fit of everything you want to do as an actor and an entertainer. And people still are excited about it.
Yes.
And I can feel that every performance is like that. And so I'm excited to continue. I'm excited to. Now, if I could have chosen, if they gave me the option of doing Hamilton for 3 more years in Chicago, I would have chosen that. But that wasn't on the table,
right.
So
we'll
do it this way.
So, you know, we saw the curtain call. I don't even know how you got through that performance because it was interrupted several times by standing ovations during the show, and then this amazing curtain call, including the mayor coming up on stage and proclaiming it Hamilton Day. What was it like after the show? I mean, it had to be bittersweet with not only your current cast members, but I know a lot of the former cast members who were in the show in the beginning and have moved on all came back to town for a party last night.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in town to celebrate this, and I think it. You know, I don't know if something like this will ever happen again. You know, this sort of. The little world that we created here in Chicago with Hamilton. Hamilton will be happening all over the world soon.
Yeah.
But it may never be like this again. And I think people coming back into town, the mayor, you know, creating this day for us, is a testament to how important it was. I know it's important in my life. I'm assuming it's important. I've heard from lots of people how important it was in their life. Mm-hmm. 10 times, 20 times, 30 times they've seen the show.
Yeah.
And I don't think that happens a lot.
No.
And
so
Miguel Cervantes leaving the role of Alexander Hamilton on Broadway. I know we'll be hearing great things about his career in the future. We'll keep you posted on that. Coming up the next half hour, actress Andie MacDowell joining us.
You love mornings like this, don't you?
You remind me of? That guy that's on MSNBC on election nights. He's got his shirt sleeves rolled.
Oh, yeah. What's his face? And he's got Kornacki, right?
Kornacki. Yeah, the wrinkled khakis. And he's into it. And he's
the
got
tie is undone.
He's got papers everywhere. That's you this morning. With, oh, we got to get the indices. Where are the wind chill indices?
That is right. Indices. Plural for index. That's what it is.
Schwani and Storm Center.
Storm Center Schwani.
Storm Center Schwani.
Storm Center.
I love you on mornings like this. You're so official sounding.
Just wait till we have like 3 feet of snow or something like that.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Can't wait.
We're going to talk with Tom Skilling's weather producer, Bill Snyder. Again, in a little while, just to get a little deeper update into all that's
He sounded pretty into it also this
totally,
morning.
He's totally into it.
I was telling Andy how much he actually does sound like Tom. They just ought to say, you know, when Tom's done, they should just bring Bill in.
I tell you. Yeah. Dean, I'll tell you. You know where Tom is right now, right?
Yes, you said.
He's on a beach.
He's in Hawaii.
Yeah.
While we're all trying to get our lips to not freeze together. Tom's putting sunscreen on. I hope he's putting sunscreen.
So do you really want to go down to Wacker Drive and
put our tongues on
the light post? Put our tongue on the light post out there?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, the fire department's right around the corner here. So they can help us. Seriously, though, you know what? On a serious note, we talk about this cold. Despite whatever the weather conditions are, our police and firefighters and emergency responders
you kidding me?
Are there. And when I was coming in this morning at 3:30, the fire truck was going out on a call.
I saw ambulance.
Yeah.
Some EMTs mm-hmm. this morning, and I thought about these poor guys and women are going to have to probably, you know, deal with it. I saw a fire truck when I was coming in also.
Yeah.
This is the time of year people are, you know, they're putting space heaters on. They're lighting their ovens to keep yep. warm. And, you know, that's
do not do that.
Recipe for disasters.
Do not do that.
So be careful with all of that. But thank you to all of our first responders, police, fire, the EMTs, anybody who has to work outside. You know, I saw, you know, talking about the honeymooners, sewer workers. I saw
Ed.
Some.
We saw Ed down in the
I
sewer.
Saw some guys,
you?
Hey, wait, Ralphie boy, working in the sewers out here in the cold weather.
tell you, Ralph, it gets mighty cold down there.
You know,
layer up.
People who have outside jobs today. Think about them. Think about the pets.
Yes. Yes.
I was just going to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, your pets also.
Make sure you take care of your pets. I mean, that ground is so cold, your dog's going to hate it, but right. you got to put the booties on him.
Yeah.
You got to do it today.
Do you have booties for Otis?
Yeah, we do. He hates it, but he loves it once he's outside. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I remember years ago, I had to put him on Schwanny before he went outside.
He likes it, though.
I think that's what he meant when he said, Dean, will you take care of them? Put my booties on him. After all these years, what we need to hear now is the great Tommy Edwards going, and now, introducing the Chicago Bulls. So what was your take on the ring event?
Yeah.
That took place. I mean, it took such an ugly turn.
It did.
When
you know,
someone, I really have to restrain myself. And talking about those people who were booing Jerry Krause, who has passed away.
Yeah, in 2017.
His widow is there to represent him, and she has to hear jerks booing at this event.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot think of anything with less class, courtesy, politeness, dignity, humanity than all of that.
It wasn't a good look. Let's put it to you that way.
Yeah,
it was not a good look. You know, the whole event actually started the night before. They had a big dinner. It was around the fact that the Golden State Warriors were here so that Steve Kerr could be a part of it. He's the head coach of the Warriors. But Dennis Rodman, his flight did not make it into town because of the weather. Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan still fighting. So they didn't get
didn't
there.
Show up.
They didn't get there.
Come on, act like adults.
Yeah. And, how can you celebrate the you know perhaps the greatest team to ever play without two of the greatest players
Jordan
that ever played?
Right.
Yeah, I mean Rodman was trying to get here. I mean you can't fight the weather at that point.
Do you think that just really Jordan and Pippen don't like each other that much to not show up for something like this? Is it something more?
I think it's more Scottie not liking Jordan right now because of the way that Pippen was portrayed in The Last Dance.
In that documentary.
Yeah. And we were all watching. We were all shut in back then in 2020. And, I think there's some lingering feelings there. I don't know if the two have ever really talked it out. I doubt that they have. I doubt that they ever will, to be honest with you. You know, Pippen saying that Michael Jordan wasn't the greatest basketball player. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can argue a lot of things, but we're not going to argue that because that's ridiculous to say something like that. But you know, at the end of the day, when you're talking about a ceremony that honors a group of guys that were put together by the guy that you're booing, I mean, say what you want about Jerry Krause.
Amazing. I mean, you know, anytime you have any of these rallies that have taken place, whether it's been the Bulls, the Cubs, the Blackhawks, or whatever, you can pretty much guarantee the management's going to get booed.
Of course.
And
ownership's going to get booed.
And the politicians.
Right.
When the politicians try to hone in on it and they come up there, they're going to get booed. But when a guy has passed away.
Yeah, I mean, he's been gone for 7 years.
Who
I mean,
has contributed a lot to the making of what, you know, probably is the greatest basketball franchise
mm-hmm.
ever. But to dishonor him in front of his widow like that, I saw the video of his widow.
Mm-hmm.
That broke my heart.
Yeah, it was hard to watch. You know, obviously Krause taking a lot of the heat for his comments just before the breakup of the team. that organizations win championships, players don't. I mean, it might have been a little misguided. He was a very emotional guy, from what I recall. You know, Casey Johnson, who covers the Bulls and has covered them for many, many, many years, he's with NBC Sports Chicago now, and he had a series of tweets yesterday saying, you know, how much he loves that family and how much that family has treated his family with kindness and love and respect, and that he said that Thelma Krause is one of the toughest people he's ever met, and that, yeah, she was shocked by it and very disheartened by it, but she'll bounce back. And, you know, it's unfortunate that that's a situation that she has to bounce back from, you know, representing her husband, who's, you know, the architect of these teams.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps, obviously, with Michael Jordan being there. I mean, Phil Jackson wins his championships with Michael Jordan and with Kobe Bryant. I mean, so, yeah, good players kind of help things along, but you still have to be good at what you do to get players around these guys and to have it all mesh and have it work together and have them get to the championship and win it, because it's not easy to do.
I just said we're living in a time where complete disrespect and rudeness is considered acceptable somehow.
Yeah.
It's validated by others who are in positions of power.
And it's a fine line in sports too, Dean, because, you know, people will argue, okay, I paid my $50 to get to the game. I can boo. If I want to boo, I can boo. And there's a point to that. There's no contract that says on the ticket you pay $50, you can't react. You know, but there are certain times to react, and there are certain other times where you just defer to the fact that this is a celebration. And I think some people got caught up in, you know, just the stuff from the past and can't let it go. And, you know, that's what happened. It's a shame. It was a bad look for the city, because it got picked up nationally.
Right.
And, you know, they're saying Bulls fans. Well, it's not Bulls fans. It's particular Bulls fans. And there's a lot of very good Chicago Bulls fans who have been with this team through thick and thin, and have probably wanted to boo but didn't, because they like the team and they respect the franchise.
Right.
But it was, you know, a certain amount of people will do it. And there are certain people that welcome the boos. I mean, they're, you know, Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, gets booed everywhere he goes. He hands out the Stanley Cup and he gets booed. And he just kind of waits, pauses for a few seconds, kind of brings it on, and then goes about his business.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, he gets booed every day. I mean, there's certain people that can handle it. And, you know, even if Thelma Krause can handle it, she shouldn't have had to deal with it that day.
She shouldn't have had to.
Yeah.
You know, it goes along with this world that we're living in right now. You know, this social media world where people say and do whatever they want online because there are no consequences.
Correct.
And that's the world that we're living in right now, where we see people saying the absolute worst, most horrible things, not only online, but plenty of people say them publicly.
Mm-hmm.
People cheer them. As, he was so rude to people. They, you know, they love it.
Yeah.
That it's a breakdown of propriety, of, you know, of, I hate to make it sound so dramatic, but it's kind of symptomatic of a breakdown of a society in a way, where people just don't know right from wrong anymore.
Yeah, and like I said, sports is such a difficult one to kind of get involved with the booing and the cheering and that kind of thing, because, you know, when a team is playing yours, you know, you boo, but there's a modicum of respect. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of respect, because you're taking the time to boo a guy that's kicking your team's butt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or boo an umpire. You don't like a decision.
Exactly.
You know, something.
Exactly.
Those are moments in the game where you're saying, I disagree with what has just happened.
And that's the way that, you know, you have the ability to express that, you know, dismay over a call, or the fact that, you know, someone's lighting your team up for 45 points, you know, and you know, it beats the alternative with people running on the field, you know what I mean, or doing stupid things like that, because I'd rather them sit in the stands and do that and boo than, you know, become a spectacle and stop a game, or, you know, become a security risk at a baseball game or a football game or whatever.
All right. Well.
But yeah, you're right. It was a bad look. It was a real bad look.
Let's take a break here, and we're going to go back in time. One of our favorite delights as children is going away, a candy that we all may have enjoyed. I want to talk about that and some other things which we enjoyed as kids, which are no longer around. We'll get to all of that coming right up.
Hi, Dom.
How about that? How about that for a long commercial? That's back in the days when they would do 60-second commercials. And it happened to be for this new gum that was being introduced back in the mid-60s, the Beach Stripe, Fruit Stripe gum. And Schwani, remember how exciting that was?
Oh, yeah.
When this new gum
came out.
Big
fruit-flavored gum.
Oh, it was delicious.
60-second spot. Now they're 15.
It seemed forever listening to these commercials. It's like, is this thing almost over? I get it. Beach Stripe, Fruit Stripe. I get it.
They wanted to make sure you got it.
Apparently they did. Sadly, they announced this week that they are going to stop making Beach Nut Fruit Stripe gum. And I don't want to be one of these people, you know, complaining, oh, they're going to stop making this gum, because I haven't had this gum in like 50 years. So I haven't been supporting the product. So I can't really say that I'm going to miss it. I haven't had it in a long time. But it's, I guess, you know, it's part of our childhood, right?
That's, oh, yeah.
That's going away.
That's why I don't have any teeth.
Excuse me? Are you wearing choppers? I never knew this.
No, I just can't chew that gum anymore.
Do you wear those teeth with the wind-up thing on them? That clatter? I never knew that about you.
No. No, I do, but I've had some teeth replaced.
What? We all did.
I'll put it that way.
But we
chewed it day and night.
We were candy maniacs.
Yes,
back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I used to like that candy called Chuckles.
Oh yeah.
Remember Chuckles?
I can find Chuckles, I will buy a package.
Supposedly, you can buy it online, because I looked.
I've seen them in stores infrequently, but I've seen them.
Amazon, you can buy. Let's see, how many do you get here? Chuckles. Irresistible fruit-flavored jelly candy-coated with a layer of sugar, just to make sure that you really get the full decaying effect on your teeth. They put not only the sugar in it, but that jelly stuff.
Oh yeah,
to make sure that it stays on your teeth, you know, for hours and hours and hours, to really go for the decaying blend. But you get one package, and it's about it looks like it's about 20 pieces. It's not like the little package that we would buy for like a dime or a nickel or a dime or something like that. This will set you back $5 on Amazon.
$5?
Yeah, $5 if you want that. 20 pieces.
Oh, okay. For 20. Yeah.
For 20 pieces.
All right. Because I've still seen the packages, you know, here and there with the five pieces in it for, you know, a buck and a half or something like that.
No, that's a lot, too, though.
I know. When you could get them for 30 cents.
What other candies were like favorite? You know what I used to love? Mallow Cups.
Mallow Cups were good.
I used to love the Mallow Cups.
And
I don't even remember what was in them. But
marshmallow. It was a marshmallow
thing.
Was
it a coconut? Was there like a... I guess marshmallow would make sense if it was mallow, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was chocolate with a marshmallow filling.
Marshmallow filling?
Mm-hmm.
No coconut?
Maybe it had some coconut in it. Maybe one of them. You know, they would have different... flavors like M&M's, plain and peanut, chocolate candies, Mallow Cup with or without coconut.
Yeah, I like the I don't even remember what I liked, but I remember that I would spend all, if I had money in my pocket, I'd go right to the candy counter.
Oh, yeah.
There was a little store
on the way. Do you like Sweet Tarts?
You love Sweet Tarts.
Oh,
yes.
Great.
Sweet Tarts.
Yeah. There was a store on the way home from school. And it was very popular around 3:30 in the afternoon, I can tell you. Not only with the candy, but Hostess Twinkies, Hostess Cupcakes, fruit pies.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
That's if you were rolling in money, then you could buy a fruit pie.
Exactly.
But if you only had a nickel, then, because that's when they had the penny candy, right?
Absolutely,
and,
yes.
In the little bowls, you get maybe a piece of Mary Jane. I used to like Mary Jane's also, because I wanted to make sure that none of my fillings stayed in.
or the next time you went to the dentist, they would say, "We're going to have to refill this tooth, son."
I'm pretty sure my dentist was subsidizing my Mary Jane addiction to keep him in business. What were some of your favorite candies, Andy?
I was, as a kid growing up, allergic to chocolate, as I've pointed out before.
Oh, yes.
They had these little things called Tartan Tinies.
Don't know those.
They were so, little tiny cylinder type, they're shaped like barrels, but they were really tiny, hence the name Tartan Tiny. I can't find those things anywhere.
I remember hard candy root beer barrels.
Oh, those were really
remember
good,
remember those?
Oh, yeah. Those are awesome.
I went to a restaurant in Palm Springs. I don't remember the name of the restaurant. But you know how, when you pay for your bill, how they sometimes they'll have a mint you could take or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
They had a basket full of root beer barrels.
Oh, nice.
I took the biggest handful of those. I'm sure when I left, they go, get a load of Fatso over there. Taking all the root beer barrels. I must have taken 25 of them. It's like root beer
barrels. That's good, though.
Stuffing them in my pockets like a heroin addict. Sorry, I like them.
Oh, man.
All right.
I used to be really jealous of people that were eating like chocolate bars. The one that I remember that I liked the most was that went away. I think it was a Marathon bar.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was braided chocolate.
Yeah. Marathon bars,
yeah, I don't think,
of course.
I don't think those are around anymore.
Remember
either.
Those? No, I've looked for those, and I can't find them.
What's that candy you just said, Andy?
Tartan Tiny. Yeah.
You know, speaking of gum.
Interesting that it also sounds like a stripper name.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. Maybe that's why we all liked it so much.
Hey, here's Tartan Tiny. Hey.
Do you remember the sour gums that you bought? They were gum balls, and they literally were a penny. Sour apple, sour grape, sour cherry. Oh, that's when you didn't even have a nickel. If you had 3 cents, you could go in there and buy three of them.
Yeah, that's when living was living. Sunday morning, going back and remembering one of the classic television shows of all time. The final surviving member of the cast of The Honeymooners has passed away. Joyce Randolph, who played Trixie Norton on the show, wife to Ed Norton, played by the great Art Carney, best friend of Alice Cramden, played by Audrey Meadows, and a long-suffering neighbor of Ralph Cramden, the great Jackie Gleason, the great one himself. Joyce Randolph played Trixie Norton on that classic series for its entire run, and then, of course, has been on in reruns really ever since the show went on the air in 1955. She died last night at her home in New York City, according to her son. She died of natural causes at the age of 99. She was a theater actress, pretty much, stayed in New York for the entire run, and was discovered by Jackie Gleason, who saw her in a commercial for Clorette's breath mints. Joyce Randolph, but this is a very early 1960s commercial for Clorette's.
Don't broadcast bad breath. Take Clorette's, the amazing remedy that dissolves bad breath away. Only Clorette's combines the two breath purifiers, chlorophyll and retsin, to stop bad breath with amazing speed. Let us demonstrate. This type machine was developed for the Army Chemical Warfare Service to detect odors. As this offensive onion odor element is passed through the machine, watch. Within seconds, the needle swings up 23 degrees. Now, after clearing the machine, watch the difference when the same odor is treated with Clorette's ingredients. Seconds later, the needle is barely moved. Proof, Clorette's absorbs offensive odor elements quickly, effectively. So always carry Clorette's. Clorette's cost a little more, but Clorette's do so much more. Remember, don't broadcast bad breath. Take Clorette's, the amazing remedy that dissolves
That's amazing.
Bad breath away.
Clorette's, by the way, it cost Clorette's a little more. It was 15 cents for a package of these the candy or little mints that you could take. But anyway, that wasn't Joyce Randolph, obviously, in that commercial, but it was a commercial for Clorette's. on which she appeared at the last minute. Somebody else was supposed to do the commercial, but she jumped in at the last minute. Jackie Gleason saw her and signed her to take on the role of Trixie Norton. Now, other actresses played Trixie because she didn't want to do those revival versions that came back. But for the original run of the Honeymooners and, you know, the sketch Honeymooners that appeared even before the original 39, she was the one. And she is the one that, really that we will think about most often whenever we think about that role. She really didn't do much professionally after the Honeymooners. She did a few roles on Broadway. She appeared in a couple of movies and a couple of television shows, but really she was very protective of her own life. She did a few interviews where she talked about the Honeymooners and how she didn't like that Jackie Gleason didn't like to rehearse. He liked to just, you know, let things go and see what happens. And she was, you know, like a lot of actors are a little more formally trained and they like to rehearse and be overly prepared. Jackie Gleason was not like that. So that was not one of her favorite things in the world. But she did, you know, if you go out there, you can find some interviews on YouTube. You can find there was a book that was written that talked about her experiences as well. One of the interviews that she did was for the Emmy TV Legends Foundation, the organization that gives out the Emmy Awards. They've interviewed hundreds of classic performers to talk a little bit about their roles and their contributions. And one of those interviews that they did was with Joyce Randolph talking about being cast as Trixie on The Honeymooners.
Bill Cates does the Academy Award shows and everything. Mm-hmm. And he wanted Diana to come in like the next day or whatever and do a live Clorets commercial. And she said, I'm working. I got a job. Can't do it. She said, I'll send Joyce. Joyce will do it. He said, no, Joyce is too tall for the guy in the commercial. She said, Joyce will wear flats. And she said, okay, send Joyce in. So I went in and did the Clorets commercial, and it went very well. And then a few weeks later, Joe Cates is on the phone, and he says, we're going to repeat that Clorets commercial on our other show. Fine, did that. A few weeks later, he's on the phone, and he said, Have you seen our Cavalcade of Stars starring Jackie Gleason? I said, no, I don't even have a television set. And he said, well, Jackie has written with the writers a serious sketch, and we got to cast it. And, well, you're young, but come on, dress old and come in and read for Harry Crane and Walter Stone and Marvin Marks. And just last week, Walter Stone died. Marvin's been gone a long time. And Harry Crane, wow, they've all just died recently. No, Marvin was earlier. But I went in and read for these three men, and they hired me. And I did the sketch opposite Jackie. He was a vaudevillian in a tank town, and this lady comes into his shabby dressing room, and they chat, and this was the woman he should have married years ago and didn't. It was just a short sketch, so I don't remember too much about it. But it was serious, and here we were doing it on a comedy show with very little rehearsal, because as everyone knows by now, Mr. Gleason does not like to rehearse. And it went okay, I guess, because the audience, you know, didn't know what was happening, but it went by quickly. It wasn't long. A few weeks later, again, Joe Cates is on the phone, and he asked me, had I seen something they were doing called The Honeymooners? And I said, no, I don't know what that is. And he said, well, it's a bus driver, and Jackie's a bus driver, and Pert Kelton is the wife, Alice Cramden. And we've written in a sewer worker. Art Carney's playing the sewer worker. He's played that a few times, and now they've written a wife called Trixie for the sewer worker. And Mr. Gleason said, get me that serious actress. So he didn't even remember my name, but he somehow knew I would be Trixie. or be okay for Trixie. And so I just fell into it that way, without an agent negotiating anything, which is not a good way to fall into anything. Well, it was just cast that way, and, you know, if you'd start saying things later like, gee, maybe I better bring an agent into this, they'd all say, no, we'll get another girl. They could be mean to you. Jackie's henchmen could be mean to you. I shouldn't say that, but that's the way they were in those days. Yeah. So you worked for, a small salary, but things were inexpensive in New York in those days. You could get along very nicely on smaller salaries. I mean, when you hear what people make today, it's mind-boggling. Here we'd work for $250 a week. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that was part of the reason that she didn't really want to be part of any of the reunion shows that went on. But a little bit from Joyce Randolph. Trixie Norton, who passed away last night at the age of 99, her family is asking, in lieu of any flowers, they're asking donations to the Entertainment Community Fund. Full show today, no preemptions. Will I make it the full 4 hours? Got people feeding me Gatorade during the show to keep me hydrated. Like you see the players do on the sidelines during the game, squirting Gatorade into my mouth. Make sure that I can go the full distance today. We'll see. I'm going to get into a food time segment coming up after 12 o'clock today, talking about stick to your ribs kind of foods, comfort foods. We've done a couple on my TV cooking segment. And I've got a good one coming up this coming Wednesday. Tell you all about that, all coming up after 12 o'clock today. Wanted to get into the second half of our A-list interview for today. And that is with actress Andy McDowell, who has been in so many great television shows and movies. She currently is part of season 2 of The Way Home, and which is on the Hallmark Channel, just debuted this past Tuesday on the Hallmark Channel. She co-stars with Kyler Lay and Evan Williams and Sadie LaFlamme Snow. And we spent a little time with them on a Zoom hookup the other day on our TV morning show. And we not only talked about the series, but what I think was even more interesting, at least to us here in Chicago, is that Andy McDowell also starred in Groundhog Day, which is one of the great made-in-the-Chicago-area movies, especially as we're getting closer to Groundhog Day, February 2nd, and how they always celebrate up in Woodstock, Illinois. That's where Andy and Bill Murray and the cast there spent so much time making this motion picture under the direction of the great Harold Ramis, the late great Harold Ramis at the time. So we talk about The Way Home and Groundhog Day with Andy McDowell and her cast. Hello there, everybody. Looking like the Brady Bunch in your little box there. How are you? Good morning.
We're floating heads back here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. Congratulations on your season 2. Andy, talk to me a little about the success. I mean, this show has just, struck a chord. What do you think it is that's resonating with people as you guys get ready to kick off your season 2?
I think people fell in love with the show because it has all the components that you are comfortable with when you watch a Hallmark show. It's got multi-generational, it's got a lot of love, it has romance, and everything that you expect from Hallmark, and plus so much more. It has this mystery and intrigue that is a little bit spicier, and I think people are excited to... I just watched the four episodes of this season. I couldn't wait to see the fifth episode, and I'm in the show.
Yeah, there's just something really compelling that's going on the Hallmark Channel. Kyler, Evan, Sadie, chime in here about what's it like to be part of the Hallmark family?
It's a wonderful family. I mean, there's so much love with everybody. It really, truly does have that dynamic. It doesn't feel like networky or anything like that, especially within the cast and, you know, our crew and our producers, showrunners, our publicity department, who's right over here to the side. No, it's really just everybody's so excited and just loves this show so much. It's why it plays so beautifully on screen. It's because of how we feel, because we genuinely love what we're doing.
And it's really exciting to be part of what Hallmark is doing, which is making a pivot into storytelling that is requires something from the audience, requires their attention, and then rewards them with depth and scale. And the show is very emotional. People feel like on social media, we're getting a lot of feedback that people are really invested. And the way that we are tackling sci-fi is in a more feminine way. It's a mother-daughter showrunner team. It's a strong cast of women-led characters. And so I'd say in addition to it being sci-fi, it's a whole new angle. It's more like cry-fi.
Yeah. Wow. I just did that right now. Yeah.
Andy, before we just run out of time here, I have to ask you, we're coming up on Groundhog Day. You were part of the landmark movie Groundhog Day, shot in Woodstock. What are some of your best memories from that shoot?
Oh, I have so many great memories. It's a beautiful movie, but Harold Ramis was the kindest man I've ever worked with.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah. it's too big of a question, but I'm really proud of that movie. I think it's a classic, perfect movie.
Before knowing you, I think I've watched it 100 times.
Right. We all have. It's one of those movies that when you see it on someplace, you stop what you're doing to watch it.
That's so funny because it was just on last week. People come up to me still all the time. I just watched Groundhog Day. I was at the grocery store. Just watched Groundhog Day. It's great.
It's one of our favorites. We'll be up there on Groundhog Day. We'll be out there with a live broadcast, too. The Way Home, though, Season 2, will be premiering Sunday, January 21st, 8 p.m. on the Hallmark Channel. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Really nice to talk to you.
Yes. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So I want to shout out some of our listeners. As we've pointed out many times, we have the greatest listeners here on Sunday morning.
The best in the world.
And maybe the nuttiest also at the same time.
All in good fun.
All in good fun, I hope.
Yes.
I hope. Here's 708 area code, just on our text line. Will Dean make it for his first full show in months? I was asking myself that same question. Usually the Hamp and OB show would be on right now, starring Andy Mazur. You miss them today?
I do, just a little bit.
You want Schwani to yell at you a little bit?
He has been in the newsroom. Okay.
Oh, share with old Clash one.
No, he told me to just sit down and go in the corner. Right.
Why don't you sit
down? You please sit down?
Do it like OB.
one of the things I love about OB is the way he can work himself up.
He does.
Like a parent yelling at a child
totally
that has been out all night. And, so it would be, something like, "You've said it time and time again. I've heard it last week, the week before, and at the beginning of the year, and you're still doing it. Sit down and be quiet."
He would say shut up, though, wouldn't
he? Well, yeah, he would.
Yeah. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah.
We got a nice card. We got a nice card from Houston, Texas.
Oh, from...
somebody listening in Houston, Texas.
Miss Carr, I believe. Is it Maryland?
It's from Maryland.
A great friend.
I enjoy your Sunday radio show very much and want to wish you a happy and healthy new year. And she sent sent me some notes. She's a Taylor Swift fan. But that's very thoughtful.
Yeah, she's a devoted listener. I had the pleasure of meeting her several years ago.
Oh, really?
Here in Illinois, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hanging out with the listeners now. Okay, Casanova. Here's another from a guy named Brian. Can't tell you guys how much you make my Sunday morning. It starts with coffee in the first 30 minutes where you're laughing out loud. Then the next 45 to 60, you are in my car with me as I take my wife to church in Schaumburg. I use the far-flung forecast on my students on Monday morning.
Hey,
Schwani, cool. You're now an educational
That's
tool.
That's fantastic.
You are an
Thank you so much for that.
You are an educational
Wow.
tool.
But did he mention compasses or protractors?
I did not. Okay. I only focused on the word tool. That's just me. And then,
okay, I'm going in the corner now.
No, hang on. Because we got something from a gentleman by the name of Mike. Dean, thanks for making us laugh on WGN. And he sent this book, Schwani, that you and I definitely will enjoy, called Andy and Don, The Making of a Friendship in a Classic American TV Show, about Andy Griffith Don Knotts' personal relationship.
How about that?
That's cool.
That's great. So, thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to write us an actual note. We love the emails. We love the texts. But it, you know, when you actually stop and send something, especially when it's gifts.
Yes,
we love gifts.
Yep,
on the show, and please feel free to send whatever.
Send anything you want.
Send whatever. As you learned last year, Schwani is now on his tour of getting free stuff wherever he goes. So if you can actually send him stuff, and he doesn't have to go on vacation, to do the scam, it's even better. Are the warm spot you'll find today. Having a few laughs, having some fun. Glad you're with us. Appreciate it, as always. I've got our Food Time show coming up in just a few minutes, where we are also going to find some nice warm spots for you, some good stick-to-your-ribs, perfect dishes to make on a cold, cold day like today, some of which I've already done on my TV cooking segment, but I'll give you a little preview of what I'm planning for this coming Wednesday to keep you warm as well. Maybe you've got some suggestions of your favorite comfort foods in cold weather. We'll get to all of that coming up in just a little while. What I wanted to get to right now was a replay of the conversation that we had earlier in the show with weatherman Bill Snyder. He is Tom Skilling's a weather producer. You hear Tom frequently talking about Bill, who really dug deep into telling us what we can expect weather-wise for today and the coming week.
This is quite a blast of cold air. I mean, we're used to, you know, cold air masses in winter in Chicago, but this is the likes that we don't see every year. And as a matter of fact, we're currently sitting at minus 10 at O'Hare Field right now. Wind chill of minus 32, which is a dangerous breed of cold. Some other temperatures, Dean, across the area right now. Bartlett, minus 12. Aurora, minus 13. DeKalb, minus 14. Morris, minus 12. Valparaiso, minus 9. Wind chills, I've looked across the network here, are as cold as minus 39 in Aurora, minus 39 in DeKalb. So, I mean, this is a dangerous breed of cold. As a matter of fact, this Dean, we haven't had temperatures this cold in about 5 years, since the dreaded polar vortex back on January 30th of 2019, when we had a bone-chilling high of 10 below, and we had a low that morning of minus 23. So this is mean stuff, and we're not alone in it, Dean. We have there's 21 states across the country that extend all the way out to the Rockies and Northern Plains from there, and points east all the way to sections of Pennsylvania. So 21 states that are under some form of wind chill advisory or wind chill warning. And as a matter of fact, our area is currently under a wind chill warning. And the wind chill warning is issued criteria-wise when the wind chills get down to minus 30. And that's, we're certainly in that territory right now. So the wind chill warning will continue until about noon tomorrow. And when the wind chill warning expires, that doesn't mean, oh, everything's going to be great. That will then be replaced by a wind chill advisory, and the wind chill advisory kicks in at noon tomorrow, and that will continue up until about 9 a.m. on Wednesday. So it's conceivable. The wind chills dropped below zero, Dean, yesterday late afternoon, and we may not have a wind chill factor that gets above zero, and that won't be uniform. That'll be just only across parts of the area. But that won't occur until probably sometime around 6, 7, 8 o'clock Wednesday evening. So this cold spell has some staying power. And, you know, it's worth noting that, you know, if you have to go out or if you have to spend any, you know, have to walk to the bus or the train and so forth, and they're not outside, but you want to make sure that you have every bit of exposed skin covered, because in this breed of cold, frostbite can occur in as little as 10 minutes in these temperatures. So it's very, very dangerous. And, you know, it's not unusual because, as you mentioned, we had the snow, we had the slush, we had the slop. Well, you know, the snow cover, which wasn't very prevalent here much of December and even into early January, it extends from, you know, as far south as central Illinois, and it goes all the way north into Canada and Northwest Territory. And, you know, snow cover has a high albedo. It's highly reflective. So that allows this Arctic Express to just flow in here unabated. And that's what's happened. You know, it's typical. A lot of times in our, you know, classic winter patterns, you get a snowstorm, and then, you know, then you get a blast of cold that comes in behind it, and the two kind of, you know, go hand in hand with one another.
How does this compare to what we might consider to be a normal Chicago winter? As you said, it's been so mild. I mean, I think we're so spoiled this year because of
the very mild weather.
But are we sort of back to normal, or is it even worse than what it might normally
be? Oh, yeah. No, this is even, you know, I mean, you know, I would say that, you know, Mother Nature's kind of evening out the scorecard, so to speak. This is that other shoe that we were waiting to drop. And, you know, it's interesting to note, Dean, you know, as you mentioned about how mild it was, from the start of meteorological or climatological winter, December 1st up through yesterday, you know that it was the third warmest start to winter here on record, and that goes back 153 years to 1871. So, you know, that's what makes this cold spell that we're in the midst of right now, or we're just getting into, even that much more pervasive, because we're just not accustomed to that kind of cold. We haven't had any cold, and so it stings even more so than it would in a normal winter otherwise. So, it is unusual. We do get cold, obviously, but you know, it's not every year that you see temperatures get down this low. I mean, 10 below zero is not that typical in every winter. I mean, we typically get about a handful of days each winter where the temperature drops below zero, and we're certainly going to be below zero each and every day through Wednesday morning.
And I guess we're not alone with all of this. We've heard the reports that the Iowa caucuses are going to be affected by severe weather. We had the, what was it, the Buffalo Bills, is it Steelers game?
Playoff game, right, got moved because
postponed.
Of lake effect snow.
Yeah, that, in Buffalo, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a classic. And, you know, that's another factor, too, Dean, because, you know, those areas, and certainly Lake Erie is being one of them, but the lack of cold weather this winter, and now that we're getting it, there's very little ice on the lakes. Very little ice, so that allows the lake effect snow machine to kick on very easily when you don't have any ice, you know, involved. So that's another factor in other parts of the country.
Is that going to be an issue for us too? Because as I look out the window,
no.
I'm not seeing very much ice out there. But Bill, you know what? I got to text you some pictures that we took. There is steam coming off the river and the lake that we can see.
Yep,
that is stunning.
Right.
It's absolutely stunning to see it.
Yeah, no, it is, and that's something that happens usually every winter when you get that first blast of cold air, and you have such a huge temperature contrast from, you know, what's going on above you, and then what's compared to the temperature, you know, of the lake or the river. And, you know, going into this, Lake Michigan water temperature was hovering near 40 degrees, so you've got probably a 50 to 60 degree difference between the air temperature and the water temperature. So that's what's causing this so-called steam effect that's occurring off the lake and the river.
I got to send you this picture. So when you guys show those weather pictures, you can go,
our
buddy Dean Richards sent this picture in.
I know he's
not going to be there. And I know. He is somewhere. He's probably on a beach right now, isn't he?
He is, and you know, isn't it convenient that Skilling knows when to get out of town?
Yeah.
Because sure enough,
it always happens.
It does, yeah. Either we get blasted with cold, or we get a major storm when he's gone.
Exactly.
So here we are shivering to death, right?
Yeah. Once again, if you see Tom at the airport, hunker down. Yeah. Something's going to happen.
Right.
When Tom goes on vacation, which is what he's doing right now.
Oh yeah.
So we're expecting this now for the next few days.
Right.
When do you think we're going to get some relief, and is it going to go back to being mild again, or are we going to be stuck in a cold pattern for a while?
It's interesting that you say that, Dean, because this cold spell is just a brief interruption, and again, in what's otherwise been an extremely mild winter. We have a strong El Nino in place, and that is still ongoing. And this cold spell is, believe it or not, is related to a pool of warmth aloft, relative warmth, I should say, put that in quotations, but relatively warm air aloft over Greenland. And what's happened is that has forced the jet stream to buckle across North America and sent the lobe of Arctic air down here. So that's, you know, the two things tie hand in hand together. And the interesting thing is that we'll get some modest improvement. You know, it won't be, it's still going to be cold, but it won't be quite as brutal by the time we get towards Wednesday, Thursday, where we may see temperatures warm up to the upper teens, you know, compared to double digits below zero. And we might bring another little snow system in here on Thursday. I don't think it's going to be a huge deal, but with temperatures being this cold, you know, that could certainly cause some slick spots. It doesn't take a lot of snow to cause some, you know, issues on our roadways when it's this cold, and road chemicals just don't respond as well as they do when temperatures are near freezing. So we'll get a little blast of cold that comes in behind that snow, like, you know, towards Friday. So we may drop back down again to have a high of about 11 degrees or 12 degrees. But the good news is, and as you were asking about, is there any improvement? There is improvement, and it looks like a week from tomorrow, we get back into a westerly El Nino type pattern where the jet stream flows off the mild Pacific Ocean, and that brings mild air across the country. So I would think that by the time we get towards a week from tomorrow, temperatures could be back above freezing into the upper 30s, and not inconceivable we get close to 40 degrees. So that's something to look forward to. But boy, we got some cold days to get through before that happens.
When you said when are we going to get the relief, I thought you were going to say on the 4th of July.
No, it isn't that bad. It isn't that bad.
Okay,
yeah,
well, Thursday's not so bad. Bill Snyder is as people are now calling you on our text line, Bill the Weather Guy. I like that for a little moniker for you, Bill the Weather Guy. Bill Snyder,
right?
Tom Skilling's weather producer over at WGN, one of the most knowledgeable and nicest people that I know. Appreciate the update, Bill, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, pal.
Sounds good, Dean. Always good to talk to you. Everybody stay safe out there.
There you go. One of the best guys there is, Bill Snyder. We had him on live with us a little bit earlier in the show today, and I thought worth repeating so we know what we can expect not only for today but for the next several days, where it's going to be pretty darn cold. So take all the necessary precautions. Keep somewhere in the back of your head that he did say we could be in the 40s by the end of the week and leading into next week. So that'll be good. We will keep you posted either way, whether it's here on our Sunday show or anytime on WGN. We've got all the resources of the WGN Weather Center. You can download the app and have all the information right on your phone. And that way you can see the radar, and you can be a junior Tom Skilling yourself, in explaining the weather to people. So that's the latest with the weather. I want to find some ways to keep you warm. We'll do that with our next segment, which will be our Food Time segment, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. We will be talking warm weather foods today, comfort, warm weather, stick to your ribs kind of foods. I've done several the last few weeks on our TV cooking segment that we do every Wednesday at 9:30 every morning. I'll tell you about those. I'll tell you a little bit about what I've got planned for this coming Wednesday. I'll tell you right now, we'll tell you only this about what I'm going to do for this coming Wednesday. It is National Slow Cooker Month. I'm pretty sure Congress designated it as that. the National Slow Cooker Month. So I'm going to be doing something in my slow cooker, my crock pot. To be exact, it's my mom's old crock pot. And I'm hoping that it doesn't catch fire. It is quite a few years old, but it's a good old reliable, you know, I think the brand is Crock-Pot. I like it because it's oblong. It's not round. And, you know, I can get what I want in there. I'll tell you the full recipe in a minute. But here's what else I want. I want to open up my phone lines right now. It's been a while since we've had a food show because we've had so many preemptions because of football. We've got a full show today. It's been a while since we've been able to talk to you about cooking. And I want to know your favorite slow cooker recipes. What are the best things you do in a slow cooker? 312-981-7200. Do you do chili? Do you have a favorite chili recipe? I've done beef stews in my slow cooker. I've done Easter ham in my slow cooker. I've done I've roasted a chicken. It's not roasting, but it's sure is delicious. I've done pulled pork in my slow cooker. Taken a shoulder of pork and put it in there with I forget all the exact spices right at the moment. But it's a, you know, it's not the same as when you put it on the smoker, you put it on the grill. But it, on a day where it's below zero outside and you feel like having some pulled pork, it's a pretty darn close substitution. Throw it in the slow cooker, the crock pot, and let it go all day. And then, you know, tonight you've got your dinner all set for you. It's set it and forget it kind of mentality. So let me get your slow cooker recipes, 312-981-7200. It's been a while since we've taken calls on our food show. See if I can even remember how to how to do the phone lines. We'll get to all of that and more right after this. You have a favorite cold weather food?
I've got a bunch of favorite cold weather foods.
Something that like really hits the spot.
I heard you mention chili. And really, when you were talking about all of the things you've done in your crock pot, like your Easter ham or a roasted chicken, sounds good.
That's good
now,
stuff.
A chili, a beef stew really, really does the trick for me, sure.
You like tomato soup?
Love tomato soup.
Homemade.
Tomato basil soup.
Listen,
it's delicious.
This is what I made on TV the other day. I made tomato basil soup using also, I used San Marzano tomatoes. These are tomatoes from Italy, canned, because you can't find good tomatoes this time of year, fresh ones. I put in the San Marzano tomatoes. I put in some cherry tomatoes, because generally those are pretty flavorful.
Yes, they are.
The fresh basil. But I also put in sun-dried tomatoes, which are like so nice, intense flavor.
So you have a multi-flavored tomato basil soup there.
I had like multi-levels of tomatoes that I put in with a little bit of half and half. You can put cream if you want to, but half and half is just fine. Or you don't have
that'll thicken it up.
You don't need any cream either way, but because all the tomatoes, and then I blend it all. I blend it all together so it gets creamy all by itself. I just put the half and half in just for a little like a kind of a velvety mouthfeel, and cooked it up. The basil, I put a ton of basil in it. It's so good. So I've got this sun-dried tomato basil soup. Then I made some French onion grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh. Oh!
Grilled cheese sandwiches on sourdough bread.
Oh!
I caramelized some onions. I put a base of the cheese. I put some caramelized onion, a little more cheese. Put it on the grill. Made a grilled cheese sandwich out of that. Got the French onion cheese sandwich with the tomato soup.
That's amazing. That just sounds so good right now.
As my dad used to say, and I have no idea why he would always say this, good night, Irene. Good night, Irene.
It's mustard.
I have not heard that song in forever. We've been in preemption season. Make room for Hamp and OB, but we are clear for now for full shows for a while. And happy to bring back Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. The award-winning All Things Edible program. And today we're going to warm you up with some recipes here in this cold weather. Got some slow cooker recipes that I want to share with you. One I'm going to be doing on my TV cooking segment this coming Wednesday. But, I did that tomato basil soup recipe the other day. A smash hit. Man, did we get positive comments on that. It's just the richest, most delicious tomato soup you will ever have. The tomato, the basil, the sun-dried tomatoes added into it just really puts it over the top. And on a cold day, nothing better. You want to get the recipes. I put all my recipes up at WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. Or you can just drop me a note and we'll send you a link. We'll make a copy something. But let's see what you're cooking out there. Let's start off with Mary. You're on WGN. Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Don. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. How you doing?
I'm very well.
Enjoy your show. My wife really likes your show.
Thank you.
Mary Lou, my wife. And she made your ramen chicken casserole a couple weeks ago. And it was something that was so good. I can't tell you how I enjoyed it so much.
Good. I'm glad you did. And for Mary, it was super easy to make. I'm telling you, it was a couple of packages of ramen chicken soup mix, a couple of cans of cream of chicken soup. What else do we put in? Oh, some roasted chicken. You know, you can just get one of
those. Some peas and corn in there. Excellent.
Yeah, whatever vegetables you want. It goes in there and you put it in a casserole dish for a little while, some breadcrumbs on top. That's a perfect cold weather dish.
It was really good.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked it. Thank you.
So tomorrow's going to be our 47th birthday, and you're talking about slow cookers and crock pots.
Yeah.
I think I should buy you another crock pot for anniversary.
That thing's going to outlive all of us.
thanks so much, Dean. Enjoy your show.
I appreciate the call. That was very nice of you. And give my best to, would you say Mary Lou?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. She may be listening. I hope so.
All right. Well, big hugs to her, and I appreciate you both listening. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Stay warm out there. This is Sharon. You're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, Dean. I have a slow cooker comfort food that would be perfect for today.
Oh, I love
it. It's a recipe that I've had in my arsenal for 20-plus years, and it's so darn simple.
So it's got to be good.
Now, the one word that's going to throw people is the word sauerkraut. And I know a lot of people thumb their nose. They're like, I don't like that. But this will make a lover out of people.
Okay.
So it's country ribs with sauerkraut.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
The pork loin country ribs, you know, they're not the ribs that you barbecue with.
Right.
You know, those are the meatier.
Right, yeah.
Yep. And you go ahead on the stove and you brown those. You're not cooking them completely. You're salt, pepper, brown those.
Right.
In the meantime, in your crock pot, you four ingredients. You throw in sauerkraut, either a jar or I like the fresh pouch that you can find
packages
in the meat area.
Yeah, or sometimes they're in the produce department too, but I know what you mean.
Yep. Yep. And then three other things. You get your grater out and you grate a green apple, you grate an onion, and you grate one potato.
Oh.
And that's it. And it mellows the sauerkraut, and then you just place those sauteed ribs on top of that, and 4 to 6 hours, it's amazing.
So now, what kind of liquid are you putting in, or is it just the liquid from the sauerkraut?
Yeah, right, right.
And probably, I mean, of course, the apple's going to give off some juice. The onion's going to give off some juice. So it cooks in its own juices.
Amazing dinner, and even my small children liked this. They couldn't watch me make it because if they saw sauerkraut, they would have a preconceived idea.
Right. So you just salt and pepper the country ribs. That's all the seasoning?
Very nicely, yeah, because that's your only seasoning.
Okay.
So yeah, I pretty much liberally on that, or any kind of seasoning that you like.
All right. That sounds absolutely amazing. I'm definitely going to try that because I've been wanting to do something with country ribs. I've been trying to think. It's not something that I make, it's not part of my arsenal, but I think your recipe may make it that. It sounds really, really good. And I happen to love...
And it makes the house smell wonderful.
Right? That's part of the extra goodness of doing the slow cooker. Your house smells amazing pretty much no matter what you cook in the slow cooker.
Right.
Love it. I appreciate the recipe. I'm going to give
Thank
that a try,
Dean.
Sharon. Have a great day and stay warm today. Richie, how about you? What are you doing in your slow cooker?
I've been doing this one for about 15 years. But before I start, I just want to say I'm glad you guys are back because on my way home from church, you guys make me laugh. You put me in a good mood. Then when I get home, I'm making breakfast. I love listening to you guys. So I'm glad you're back for the full show.
Aren't you nice? I appreciate that. I'm glad Shawnee's not here to hear the compliments. Because there'd be no living with them. There'd be no living with them, honestly.
I've been doing this one for about 15 years, and anybody that's ever been over when I do it, they love it.
Okay.
You know, banana peppers, the ring peppers in a jar?
Yeah, yeah.
The mild. Get two bottles of that mild banana pepper rings, okay?
Yeah, it's the yellow. It's like the yellow peppers, right? But they're cut into rings. They're cut into rings.
Don't ever do the hot.
Okay.
That just doesn't work. It ruins it.
Okay, all right.
So you put that in. You go with a couple of potatoes, a couple of onions, garlic. Now, you use stewed meat, you know, any kind of beef meat, cut up in chunks, put that in.
Okay.
For the liquid, I use chicken broth, you know, and... season it the way you like it. You know, I use oregano, I use paprika, I use salt and pepper, and other stuff. So, and this is just wild. It's just that the pepper rings give it a taste that you've never had before.
A tanginess, probably, right? But also, it probably, like our previous caller just said, it mellows out a little bit once it's in the crock pot.
I put it on medium, and I go for about 4 hours. You can go on high, and it's ready in about 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah, I think...
One more tip for you.
Yes, sir.
When you barbecue, you use the chips for the barbecue, the wood chips and that.
I have, yeah.
Cut up a red pepper with, when you're putting on the chips, put the red pepper, mix it together, and put that on it. It adds just enough flavor, especially with ribs and steaks.
Now, what are you saying, like a red bell pepper or the crushed red peppers?
No, the bell pepper, the regular, not onion. I'm not talking pepper. I'm talking onion. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. A red onion?
Onion.
Put a red onion on there. So what do I, like, cut it and am I chopping it? Am I cutting it half?
And chop it up in little pieces and mix it with the wood chips.
Mix it with the wood chips.
So when you move it, when you put it on the grill, I'm just telling you, it just gives it just a tinge of like a peppery, a oniony flavor
onion-y,
to the meat.
Onion, smoky onion kind of flavor probably, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Those are some fantastic tips. I want to eat at your house, Rich. Thanks.
Come on over.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Stay warm today. What do we have here on our text line? Dean making 708 area code. Dean making beef stew today. I make it annually when it's this cold. And yes, I do include an entire bottle of red wine in it. Oh, that would be so fantastic in a beef stew. Are you kidding? But I would. This is what I put in my beef stew in the slow cooker, in the crock pot. The beef, of course. I mean, you can use pretty much any kind of beef that you want. Don't buy expensive beef because you're cooking the heck out of it. You don't need a tender cut of beef in there. The beef stew chunks are great. Or if you just, you know, get a flank steak or a pot roast that you can cut up yourself, whatever's cheapest, that's what I put in because I'm gonna make it so it melts in your mouth anyway. The beef, potatoes. I put onions, I put carrots, some red wine is a fantastic idea. I put saute the beef first to give a little browning, and I throw a little flour in there as well because that'll thicken the gravy when it's a little bit later on. But, yeah, I love this. I love the beef stock, of course, goes into it. But this is the whole deal. And an entire bottle of wine. I don't think I've put an entire bottle. Are you sure that part of it didn't go in the crock pot and part of it didn't go in the chef? 12:51. The return of Dean Richards Food Time, the Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. I'm going to be doing a slow cooker meatloaf on my TV cooking segment this coming Wednesday. It is a Italian Parmesan meatloaf, and it's all done in the slow cooker. I'm going to show you how to layer in some strips of foil under the meatloaf so you can easily lift it out without wrecking it, without it falling apart. But the ingredients, it's very much like, it's almost like a giant Italian meatball, really. But I cook it in the crock pot. I've got some tomato sauce and, some traditional things. I love onion and green pepper in my meatloaf, so that's going to be part of it. But some Parmesan cheese is part of the mix as well. It's all this coming Wednesday. I cook every Wednesday at 9:35, and I hope that you can watch that. 312-981-7200. Do you have a slow cooker recipe you want to share with me? Love to hear it. 312-981-7200. Here's the 630 area code telling me to add a can of chickpeas to my beef stew. That sounds really fantastic, actually. It says, Dean, add to your beef stew one can of chickpeas drained. It's a delicious stew that I just made yesterday. That sounds, you could almost skip the beef if you're putting the chickpeas in. That would be delicious with all the vegetables. 312 area code. I'm from Maine, and I'm making some good old Boston baked beans today. Legit baked beans. That sounds fantastic. 815 area code. Kraut and ribs and layers of onions in the crock pot. That sounds great. 847, Dean, Jewel has prepackaged ingredients for crock pots. I've seen those. I've used those. Super, super handy. And this person says that they're pretty good. I could not agree with you more. 312-981-7200. And Mike, what do you have for us?
Hey, Dean, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
And what I like to make is pork carnitas, pork shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope what happened to me like 5-6 years ago is my mom's crock pot died. So I stepped up into an instant pot.
Oh, fancy, fancy pants.
Now you ever tried an instant pot?
I have one, and I use it both as a pressure cooker and as a slow cooker. I do all the time.
There you go. So for the pork shoulder, it only takes about an hour for that thing to pressure cook and get done.
Yeah.
So what I do with that is debone it, take it out. I use chicken stock in there, onions, cilantro, and just let that go on pressure. Take it out, put it on a cookie sheet, separate, break it up, stick it underneath the broil so you get that nice char.
Right. Which you can also do that in the Instant Pot. On the saute setting. You can do everything in one pot.
Yeah, you can sear.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can sear, but I like to get that nice crispy.
A little char. I got you, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I stick it on a cookie sheet and wrap up some tacos. And whatever you got left over, you can always make some green chili with that pork.
Nice. Oh, that sounds fantastic. Now, how long did you say you left it? Now, you did it as a pressure cooker, right? You said in what, an hour?
Yeah, an hour. You can do a 5-pound pork shoulder in an hour, and it's done. I mean, you pull the bone right off the meat.
Yeah, that's it's. So, I mean, it's truly amazing.
And then you can just leave it slow cook, in the broth.
Right.
But just throw on some pico de gallo and wrap it up in a flour shell or corn shell or whatever.
Shred that up a little bit with a couple of forks. Shred it up and go to town.
Exactly.
You know what? I wanted to hate the Instant Pot when it first came out. I wanted to hate it. It's like, I don't want any more gadgets. I don't want any more.
Right.
This junk is, you know, clogging up my pantry. And then I got one, and I love it. I use it all the time now.
I know. You can do rice in it. You can do a lot of stuff in there.
Yep.
You know? So, I mean, it's perfect. Just, you know, I don't wish your mom's slow cooker would die, but, you know, use your Instapot more, Dean.
Part of me, well, on, to be, if I'm going to be completely honest, mostly I use the Instapot because I'm honestly, I'm afraid I'm going to burn the house down with this. This crock pot that's my mom's has to be.
I understand. Probably an old Sunbeam made in Chicago, huh?
40, 50 years old easily. And I just, yeah. Is it worth it to risk burning my house down? For a,
you know,
for a
you just
crock
gotta keep
pot
an eye on it. With the Instapot, you don't have to.
Yeah, it's set it and forget it. Yeah. You know what? I felt the same way about air fryers. Do you have one of those?
You know, I don't enjoy it as much. I got a convection oven.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like an air fryer.
Right.
So, you know,
I wanted to hate.
Just another gadget I don't need.
Yeah, I wanted to hate my air fryer also, and I tried it out, and I was like. I love this. I love it.
Yeah.
I love that I can like cook Brussels sprouts in like, you know, 5 minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're crispy and moist and
yeah, it's like me and my dehydrator. I make beef jerky. I dry up all my if I got cilantro fresh that's going bad, I'll stick it right in there and dry it up.
Yeah, so you can use it.
Dehydrators are the way to go.
Look at us.
You need that gadget.
Look at us guys talking about gadgets here. How about that? Have a good day, my friend Mike.
Hey, stay warm out there.
Be careful. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Here's one from the 708. Dean, our Mariano's had hams after Christmas for 99 cents a pound. Wow, that's a good price. I tried mine in the crock pot for the first time. The glaze was good, but I would do a shorter cooking time. Yeah, you don't need to overcook the hams. Really, all you're doing is rewarming them, whether you're doing them in an oven or crock pot or any place else. They're cooked already, so really you're just rewarming them up. And then I took the ham bone and made split pea soup, it says here, in the crock pot. So yummy. Memories from walking home from school on a cold winter day to a steaming cup of my grandma's homemade pea soup. With you 1,000% on that. I don't think I've ever made a ham where split pea soup didn't follow, where I made the soup. I've done it in my Instapot. I've done it on the stove in a Dutch oven. But I always save a little ham on the side, and there's always ham on the bone. And it just adds so much flavor to it all. I love that too. So anyway, we put all of these recipes online. At WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. And this coming Wednesday, as I said, I'm going to be doing a slow cooker meatloaf. Slow cooker meatloaf. That's a good one on a cold day. Nice couple of slices of meatloaf to warm your ribs up. This coming Wednesday on our WGNTV morning news. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be recapping the Critics' Choice Awards, which are tonight. And then on Tuesday morning, I'm going to be recapping the Emmy Awards, which are on Monday night. We've got two award shows back to back this week, and we've got lots of good A-list interviews. Always lots of fun on our WGN-TV morning news. And, of course, Monday through Friday, 8 to 8:30 on Bob Surratt Show. We always have a lot of fun talking entertainment.